720 WGN live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio, seventh floor of the mighty Tribune Tower. Here it is, Dane in for Nick on 720 WGN. Nick is on. Are we allowed Dan to divulge the location of Nick? Well, because sometimes people want to be private. You know, they want to either relax at home or maybe they're off on an island somewhere, maybe doing recon for the next show.
He fully admits it. He's always on a staycation during his vacation. So he's on his couch watching a movie right now.
Okay, all right.
98%.
Just recharging the batteries for America. Dino Tiberi to my right. He'll be in studio. Longtime friend, longtime guest, longtime. And, of course, the physical embodiment of Harry Carey himself wearing your Cubs logo. And did you ever get up one day, Dino, and you say, because here's the thing. You know, I remember in college, I loved macaroni and cheese growing up. It was one of my favorite foods. 312-981-7200 on your favorite food that you got sick of, right? And there came a day that and ramen noodles, which were so easy, I could not believe that in the space of about 5 minutes, I could have delicious steamy snack that came out of a bag that was so easy to make and so delicious.
It cost about 10 cents,
if that, right? Great, yeah. For any occasion. Then there came a day when you just hit, and I think runners talk about it like this, or remember the marathoners, they get to that point. I don't know if it's mile 18, 19, they hit the wall.
Yeah,
and then you can't go any further. And there was a time, with the ramen noodles that happened for me. Is there a time when you wake up and you're going to put the Cub logo on, so dedicated, so devoted, and you just be like, hit the wall?
Nah, there's been times where I haven't, after this past season, I didn't just, I decided that I would. Nah, I'm going to go.
You're becoming jaded and cynical. You're like, well, if the Cubs aren't going to try to win a World Series,
I'm not going to wear the shirt. No, that's I'll always represent. There's no question about that. And so, this was something. And actually, a sweatshirt I hadn't worn all that much. But
okay.
You've seen some of the other ones here in the studio, but I haven't worn this one in a while, so I thought I'd break it out. And it's a cold enough night tonight to warrant bringing out the sweatshirt. So we got the big bullseye on the front.
Yep.
Ready to go.
Trying to warm the cockles of a baseball fandom, knowing that pitchers and catchers are going to report in no time flat. They're going to go ahead and do that. And, of course, mentioning Dino, the physical embodiment of Harry Carey when he passed away. So a little bit of his spirit kind of went into Dino. But you were doing Harry while Harry was still doing Harry.
Well, sure. It's been going on a long time. And, you just don't stop. You just continue rolling along, much the way the Cub hopefully will this upcoming season. But we'll have to wait and see about that.
And also, the prodigal nephew, Larry from Aurora, is your uncle, right? So to keep this is like one of those tribute bands. Of course, Dan is an original member. But for fans of the Nick DiGilio show, when you're let's say you're at a Taste of Wooddale, right? And you're seeing Foghat and really...
Yeah, minus their lead singer.
Minus like everyone.
Yeah,
it was like
one remaining member who is barely there.
Right, he's the tambourine guy from like the fourth album. But yet it says Foghat on it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about it. Larry was he was my uncle, of course, and a frequent contributor to the show. And I was great because I always used to listen to Nick when I would drive home from being out someplace, and because he was on late at night, and my uncle invariably would call in the middle of his show.
Now, how did you, as a relative, and not everybody can be, you can be loving and supportive of your relatives, especially at this time of year. It's nice to look back and kind of have those warm feelings. But was it like, oh no, would you cringe up? You're like, oh my gosh, what's he going to say?
No, I knew what was going to happen. It was going to be something off the wall because that's just how my uncle was. And, never more evident than when I took him to the Bruin View the one time when Nick had a double feature over at the Vic. And he brought Nick a bag of liquor to give to him before the show started. And I just remember him calling me up. He's like, you got to take me down there. You got to take me down there. I'm like, okay. Because he didn't really like driving, any distances anywhere in the city or anything. So, it was a good night for us. It was.
I was there that night. And I had seen a picture of Larry beforehand. So when he walked in, and then you walked in, I knew what was going on, but nobody else had really seen
it. Right.
So I'm like, oh, my God, Larry is here. Because he had called and said...
In the flesh, right?
In the flesh, because he had said, I'm going to go, but you never know. Obviously, Aurora's not close.
Right.
So there he is, and I'm like, oh, this will be interesting.
Yeah, it absolutely was. There was no question about it. I mean, my uncle smoked a lot. And so one
did he have like an endorsement deal with Chesterfield or something?
He was a big Pall Mall guy.
Good.
And so I had to make sure. One caveat was, listen, if I'm driving you down there, I can't have you smoking in my car. So we were going down the Eisenhower.
He's like hanging out the window.
He's got his head out the window trying to smoke. Oh, it was hilarious. The whole thing was just a great night. And in fact, when Nick recognized him in between the movies, I had to have him stand up because he's sitting down. Nobody could even see him. Like, stand up so you can see. People want to see who you are. And by the end of the night, you know, he goes outside for a smoke, and there's like 15 people standing around him talking to him.
He got bigger applause than Nick did.
I really wish I would have recorded that one, Dan.
Hand to God, he was massive.
Yeah. He was something else, man. And I tell you, family get-togethers and gatherings, he always had some off-the-wall joke or comment or something that he had to make. And he was, there was none other. There's nothing like him.
See, okay, so, and it's nice to be able to kind of sit back, reminisce, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners are reminiscing as well. And so that's a great opportunity. People, 312-981-7200, if they want to share their Larry from Aurora memories or stories, maybe Dino can corroborate any of those.
I'll try. Some I might be able to, some probably not.
If people can remember back 24 hours, Dan was so kind as to curate the goat hit song from Sweden, where goats had been enlisted into the charitable arts and also in music, I guess is what you would say it was.
It was fantastic, right. I know that.
So we got a chance to take a look back at that. We're going to look back too at some of the top TV shows of 2017. Dino, do you watch a lot of TV? I mean, I watch news, live sports, I've got, I'll lament, you've heard me do this, so that, there are a number of really big hit TV series that have come, that have gone, that I never really appropriately paid attention to. Like Murder, She Wrote, came and went. I never saw it. Slightly more recently, Orange is the New Black. I just haven't gotten a chance to get in on it. But
I watch all the Chicago, like the Fire PD, the ones that are on NBC. I watch those. I record those. I don't watch them live because I never watch TV live. I always fast forward through the commercials and get on to the next one. And so I watch those shows. Curb Your Enthusiasm came back this year. So I love that show from the beginning. So that was awesome that came back and went through that season. And, with all the stuff with Kevin Spacey, I watched House of Cards. I'm a binge watcher of that on Netflix, so I had, that was a little bit odd that when that stuff went down. But some of those shows. I'm trying to think of some other ones, but those are the main ones that I usually watch. But I watch sports mainly, and I watch some movies that I've probably seen 100 times too.
100 times, like your holiday favorites, and Dan has got a list. We're going to talk about those. 312-981-7200. You can call in and kind of talk about some of your favorites. You can text him in as well. We'll try to read as many of those as we can during the program. But that is the one thing that kind of brings people together, as far as, because people can have stuff that they like. They like to watch this, or they're more news people or sports people, or they like to watch zombie shows. the world of entertainment. With cable and all of the different online sources, you have so many different outlets for entertainment, and they're all producing a lot of quality stuff. It isn't like it used to be, right? There was just a couple channels.
Yeah, 257-911.
And you had your cable access folks who occasionally put out a nice exercise video. Who knows? Now you've got, Netflix, Amazon, and all of the different kind of movie channels, or HBOs and Showtimes, that are putting out quality award-winning television. But I think when you get an award for kind of nostalgic TV, you look at some of those holiday classics. And so we'll talk about some of those. And again, that number, 312-981-7200, you can share yours. There's some that you look forward to because they're not on all the time. And it's kind of like turkey, because now it isn't as though you have to wait in order to have them, because you could watch them. Everything's sort of on demand now, so you could watch It's a Wonderful Life in the middle of July if you felt like it. Sure. Isn't like you're waiting for them to go ahead and show. It's like turkey, right? It's not, you don't have to, turkey if you want.
You don't have to have it in November.
You don't have to, right? But it just feels better. You feel more like it just seems appropriate.
It's a traditional thing for some people. So,
Dan, holiday television, when it comes to it, you think of the classics. We've talked about them, over the years. It's a Wonderful Life is one of those, Miracle and 34th Street, a Christmas Carol, kind of those. But then on the lighter fare, and last night we got a chance to delve into our favorite cartoons of all time, when I get to utter the name, to invoke, I guess would be the way, of a Hong Kong Phooey, right? Now people kind of know and care what you're talking about. That was exciting. But on the cartoon side for kids, those holiday specials were huge.
Oh, I mean, and as your point, I mean, it was appointment television for you because you couldn't have it, you know, constantly and things like that. The interesting thing for me is that my oldest daughter is 2.5 now.
Wow.
So she's just in that range now where she's starting to pick up on things and singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer when we're driving around and sing Christmas decorations and things like that. So when she saw Frosty the Snowman, you know, her eyes lit up. She just couldn't get enough of it.
Now, is it because of, you know, these are revered figures and we're consistently talking about, was it the stovetop pipe and a button nose and all that kind of stuff, or just the fact that you've talked about them, or they just get referred to as a mythical figure? Because when you look back and you watch them now, the animation isn't all that great, but these are classics,
right? I mean, and I think there's a whole, like, a wholesomeness to them. There's just a beautifulness to them, you know. They're so simple and sweet, and you know, everything in this world is very complicated and everything's gray, and these things are just kind of just black and white, beautiful, you know. And I also think the music goes a long way. You know, she's a very musical child. She sings a lot. She loves, you know, songs and things like that. And all, you know, obviously all the Disney movies are basically all musicals now, because every 10 minutes there's a new song being sung. And you know, these songs are so catchy, you know, we all know the words. I mean, I remember when she was really young and, you know, you're trying to calm her down, trying to put her to bed, you know, they suggest singing to them as you're walking and as you're rocking to them. And, like, I would find myself singing Christmas songs because I know all the words. You know what I mean? Like, if you ask me to sing the most popular song on the radio right now, maybe I know a stanza, I know a lyric or two, but, like, I know every lyric to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you know? So I think that's part of it too. I think the music really brings them in.
They tackle kind of timeless, tough issues too. You know, whether it's, you know, feeling kind of different. You know, maybe you feel as though you are a resident of your own island of misfit toys, right? Or let's say you want to be a dentist, right? Right. I mean, any of these kind of things that are out there, you know, you could sort of, it's timeless.
Well, there was kind of that ridiculous story a couple years ago where people didn't want them to show Rudolph because they felt it promoted bullying.
Who are these people?
I mean, even if it does, he wins in the end. And you show the bullies that the people being bullied are good. And they can help guide
Santa. They can turn them around. A little rehab during the show turns them around in the end.
It's like the people who, like, It's a Wonderful Life is too depressing. Well, wait till the end. It gets better. It figures itself out.
Good morning. Happy Christmas, building along.
Merry Christmas.
I think you gotta have that eternal struggle, good versus evil, whether even some of that evil is self-doubt or whatever kind of situation you're going through. And yeah, It's a Wonderful Life is classic. I mean, it takes you through all the range of emotions. You know, but then some of the lighter stuff too. You know, you've got the cartoons, you've got, you know, where you've got, they weren't really claymation, weren't they? Sort of like stop action puppets or something, some of those, where, you know, with the Bumble,
certainly seemed that way when you were watching it. But, you know, that stuff to me, that was like cutting edge then. You know, now it's, you're right, it's like you look at it, you go,
back in the day, you know,
who was into that then?
Charlie Brown Christmas, these are the things that, you know, there were some kind of keepers of the entertainment up in you know, the television tower, and they were able to kind of, you know, dispense that only at certain times of the year.
Sure, you had to make sure you caught it, because if you missed it, then it wasn't going to be on again five times.
You had to plan your bathroom.
Or you couldn't record it either.
You had to plan your bathroom. Wow, I can't believe 2.5. So, Dan, as you'll remember, we're going to talk a little bit about this throughout the course of the program. Is as much as we love Chicago, so many things about it, you know, and I'll joke about, you know, we've embraced the rampant crime, political corruption, of course, great sports, right?
And exactly.
The architecture and warm and friendly people, but it's nice to get out, especially during the winter, and kind of go some different places so people can share the places that you go for your holidays as part of On the Road with Dane, which we do every Saturday at 2. We've got our Dane's Ultimate Florida Family Road Trip, and we're going to talk about, I'm going to provide, not me personally, with a collection of support groups, and we're providing a vacation, a getaway vacation for your entire family, up to 10. You know, so if you're Dick Van Patten, you got 8 and it's enough, boom, you can all go, right?
Yeah.
A luxury home in Florida. Dino, on the way up, I'm like, I got to talk about it. And Dino's like, where in Florida? In my mind, I was thinking it's Orlando, right?
Right.
Right. But there's so many other places in Florida.
Right. It's not, don't pigeonhole Florida into just the, you know, Mickey Mouse area of the state.
Yeah. Some of the hype had gotten to me, right? So, but it's in the Orlando area, so you're going to have the opportunity not only to stay in a luxury home for an entire week, you get to choose that home. We're going to give that website Because we're just starting to put the things together. I think I'm going to announce it this Saturday, some of the more official ways to get involved. But you can kind of maybe get in on the planning process here through the Nick Show. This is a great listening audience and a lot of good brainstormers and things to add in, because we're going to have the house. You get to go there. You're going to have at least one or two days at, you know, some of those places, maybe Disney World or SeaWorld, you know, or whatever, to get out. But you're going to be able to enjoy that house. It's got its own pool in it. And there's all these different houses to choose from. And they sleep up to like 14 people, so you don't feel cramped. You've got a luxury kitchen, all sorts of great accommodations. And then we're going to stock the house. This is it, where you can, because you don't want to be homesick, Dino. You know, as much as you have traveled, you've always felt like, geez, when can I get back to?
When am I going to get back to Chicago where I belong?
You can take some Chicago with you, whether it's bone of beef. You know, you can have some kits. You can make some bone of beef there
in your
luxury Floridian style home. Maybe some Allen Brothers steaks, you know, maybe some beverages and some great stuff from Chicago. We're going to stock the house with that, so you'll be able to feed yourself and your family.
Cool.
Yeah, just close your eyes. You feel like you're home. You open them, you're glad you're not home.
Right. So it's not 80 degrees in Chicago. I know that.
So 2.5 years, and it all started off with a honeymoon. Well, a wedding. Well, probably a relationship. Maybe a first date. I'm just saying, after a while, you guys decided that you were going to get married, and you went to, of all places, Hawaii, which is one of my very favorite places on the planet. And so, Dan, talk like a tiny bit about it, because after 2:30, we're going to have Sam Choi on. Sam Choi is the greatest natural resource, and that's saying something that Hawaii has. He's an amazing chef, James Beard Award winning chef. He's, from a street cred perspective, he is the guy that that beat Morimoto, Iron Chef Morimoto, on the Iron Chef show, the original, the OG original gangster show in Japan. Wow. He actually beat him there, and he is kind of, you know, he is the main guy when it comes to food, when it comes to poke, when it comes to Hawaiian cuisine and all that. So we're going to talk with him a little bit after 2:30. But Dan, you liked Hawaii. Have you gotten a chance to get back there?
No, I haven't had a chance to. Unfortunately, just it hasn't worked out. But we had a great time there. You know, at that time, you were a frequent guest on Bill Love's show, which I was producing at the time. And you were kind enough to, you tweeted the mayor, I believe, and to get us recommendations on places to go. And, you know, through Bill's show, we got some places to eat and visit and things like that, and we just had a blast the entire time. I mean, the food was unbelievable, the locale is unbelievable, the experience is just, it's such a wonderful place.
And it's not like this is like a news flash. It's not like Hawaii's like an unknown little gem.
No, wait a minute, it wasn't very good before, now it's great.
Right, it's not like Panama, like come to Nicaragua.
Yeah. You know?
So it is one of those things, and it isn't really all that easy to get to, but it's not that hard too. The world's become a smaller place. We'll talk a little bit about that, plus your thoughts too. Places that you love to go that maybe are some gems. Maybe the Dells. Do you know, have you ever been to the Dells?
Been there many times. Been there in the winter and in the summer.
See?
It's awfully good no matter what time you go up there. It's a good time.
Whether it's a road trip or whether it's get on a plane and get someplace warm, you can share that as well. 312-981-7200. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll take another break, and we're going to talk about all these things, including your thoughts. Larry from Aurora, Jay in Ohio, says that's his hero. Did you know you probably had like a Larry
from Aurora? Did you ever know he was your hero? No, I didn't know that.
Late for our break. We're going to take it here. It's staying in for Nick on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Dane in for Nick here. Allstate Showcase Studio, 7th floor of the mighty Tribune Tower. Dino Tiberi to my right. We've got Dan Segrew in there. We're going to be talking all things kind of family classics, a little bit of trips, a little bit of, we're going to talk some food, we're going to talk some vacations, some Hawaii. Sometimes that visual vacation that takes you back to your childhood, watching some family classics and some of those great holiday specials that were there for the kids. So Dino, what was the one, was there one that you enjoyed watching? Because I always enjoyed, and remember, we didn't have a lot of things to choose from, so the special was on. It was way better than what else would have normally been on.
Yeah,
and so you watched it.
I watched The Grinch every year that it was on, and also One It's a Wonderful Life and A Christmas Carol. Those are probably the three main ones that I would make sure I tried to watch every year. And even now, you know, I just watched It's a Wonderful Life with my dad a couple of weeks ago, so, you know, it's those are the main staples, but then there's so many other ones now. And Rudolph, of course, all those cartoons. I made sure I watched all of them when they were on.
See, Rudolph wasn't a cartoon. It was
animation, it was whatever you want to call it.
Right. It wasn't just a regular guy kind of sit there, you know, and talking, or people doing some lines, right? There was some kind of animation in there, and they were crazy characters, and you had the Bumble, right? Remember the Bumble with the sharp teeth? And one of the things that was kind of unique with him is you know, there were times when he was as large as a mountain. You know, he was as big as, and then when they were all kind of palling around, he was just a little taller than everyone else. Right? It was like for a while he was like, rawr, and then they're all kind of, you know, just walking along, and there he is. He's just a little. Yukon Cornelius was a pretty big guy, right?
Yeah, there was. Those characters really, you know, stood out, and you watched it, and you were like, "Oh man, I got to wait another year for this. This is great." I mean, finally, when it came on, we just made a point to make sure we got, you know, in front of the TV to watch that every year.
As a kid, it was kind of like a visual vacation to be able to sit down and watch some of those things. It happened once a year. It was during the holiday times, and it was appointment television. Not only appointment, like you had to sit there and watch it. You couldn't even go to the bathroom. You had to wait till the commercial breaks, yeah, right, in order to be able to race to kind of do that, because you couldn't necessarily record it. When it comes to vacations, Dino, as before we go to news here, then we're going to come back. We're going to have legendary Hawaiian chef Sam Choi on with us. Where is the place? Is there a place on your bucket list that you would want to go?
Hawaii is one of them. I mean, you know, we were talking about it earlier, and I'd love to get out there to spend some time in Hawaii. I'd never been there. I mean,
I've never
been west of Las Vegas. So
really,
yeah.
Are you
never
serious?
Been to California.
Oh, there's a whole world out there.
Yeah, no, I know, and I just haven't explored any of it. But San Diego is another one I might want to get to as well. So that's a couple that are on the list.
The best compliment that San Diego can get, of course, they've got a decent food scene as well. You know, sports maybe a little bit, right? Is that they've got the same kind of weather as Hawaii. They say, you know, it's got the climate, you know, where it's really nice. It's nice all the time, not too hot, not too cold. But Hawaii has got so much more than just great weather. It's got great food too. And when we come back from the news, we're going to talk with Sam Choi, so stay tuned for that. Right now though, it is 2:30 and news time. Here's Vic Vaughn. 7:20 WGN, Dane in for Nick until 5 a.m. today here high atop, well, in the middle kind of Tribune Tower, 7th floor studios, the All-State Showcase. You can get to the window, lots of windows out here. It's a little bit cold here in, but would you say, Dino, that it's unseasonably warm? It's not, what is it, like 40 degrees
out there? No, it's been very tolerable this week. It's been nice. It's anytime you're over 32 degrees, in my opinion, it's a balmy day here in the city. So, I mean, it's supposed to get cold. According to Tom Skilling, it's going to get cold on Christmas Day. It's going to drop down. But, you know, right now, anytime it's where it's at right now, it's mild for me. I love it.
When it comes to the world of food or sports, people, you ask people, they'll say, like, hey, Chicago, we got to get there. It's a great food destination, great culinary town. It is a great architecture place. A lot of great things going for Chicago. We love it. I think if you go across almost the world and you ask them, like, where would you like to go? Kind of a bucket list thing. Hawaii is always one of those places that comes up, certainly for, you know, the sea, the surf, the sand, and for the food. And a lot of that is due to our next guest. He's a James Beard Award winner, ambassador for the people and the cuisine of Hawaii, the godfather of poke himself, the one and only chef Sam Choi. Sam, welcome to Chicago. Welcome to WGN.
God, I put on a sweater because you guys are talking how cold it is in Chicago. I said, God, man, these guys are making me cold right here in Hawaii, even though it's 75.
Now, see, think about that. You know, people think it's warm in Hawaii,
it's
but
great.
But the weather, right, I mean, it's pretty much the same. It's not too hot, not too cold. It's perfect.
It's just right. You know, it's so funny because we've just had a few days of a chill come through. And God, it hit the pages at 65, the front pages of the newspaper, you know.
Cold front moved through.
Now, Sam, think about this. You know, here, and Dino is with us as well in the studio, and he mentions, you know, Tom Skilling, who's kind of a weather icon here. Because, you know, we've got lots of storms and blizzards and cold and heat. And he's a great figure, one of the most popular television personalities that we have in the city. For weatherman in Hawaii, is it a job? Does he record, like, the whole week in advance? I mean, is it
the same thing every day?
Actually, the weather people in Hawaii, actually, it's illegal. I mean, they've been saying balmy and 75 for the last zillions of years, you know, so it's no challenge here, no challenge whatsoever.
I think it's a new dialogue, Sam.
The same drum, you know?
Yeah.
We had talked about it, and you and I have known each other for a number of years, and we had even on, outside of some of the stuff that we've done collectively to support St. Croix Foundation, helping kind of students learn the world of food and have it, as it has been for you, kind of a passport to a career and all that kind of stuff. But we've talked about kind of the foods that are identified and thought of with Hawaii, of course, fresh fruit, fruit, pineapple, all those things. Dino had mentioned Spam. I know that you're a great ambassador for Spam. We had talked about it, a number of times over the years, and you love it, and the people from the island love it and do a lot with it. But here's the thing that's kind of sweeping the country right now. And in Chicago, I was lucky enough to do one of those first interviews with the people that had started Aloha Poke, which, you know, they're just local people, but a love for the cuisine. But, you know, this is something you guys have been doing for a long time. But for the people that do not know, kind of explain exactly what it is and what you guys have been doing on the poke side in Hawaii.
Well, you know, as big and as almost worldwide, not almost, it is worldwide, sushi and sashimi, I had a vision that why not our poke? You know, poke is truly a dish from Hawaii, but more importantly, it's much easier eating. You don't have to dip it. You just eat, you know, a piece of a wonderful cube poke, which means, poke means to be cut into cubes. That's all it is. So you can get steak, you can get fruits, tofu, and you can make your poke using those because of the cutting of the fruits, the beef, the tofu, the tuna, the salmon, any kind of saltwater, fresh white fish, mahi mahi, wahoo, which is ono. So all of those kind of fish could fall in the category of poke. And it's really exciting to see it come in all age, because I remember doing the big national fish fry in Washington, D.C., and I did almost 600 pounds of fish, you know, poke. And, you know, it kind of was like a slow sell. And I kind of finally says, hey, you know, it's kind of like the beef tartare, but this is the seafood tartare. Boy, that thing took off, you know. That was back in the early 90s. I mean, but look at it today. God, it's just people are very well aware of it. They know what it is. They look for it. It's so exciting. It's an exciting time for a dish from Hawaii that are taking on the world of the sashimi and the sushi guys, you know.
I'm just saying it's the kind of thing, though, that I think no matter where you are, you can embrace and enjoy it, because it is, you've got all those health properties. It's got fresh fruit. It's got the fish and the meat and those kind of things. And it is kind of strange. You know, here, this is Chicago's a great food town. We pride ourselves on having the ability to have diverse cuisine from all around the world done at an elevated level. They started it here, and it was just a little booth in a food court. Granted, you know, our Chicago French Market is one of the better food courts in the country. It's been recognized on Food Network and Bon Appetit. But it was, you know, you're looking at maybe 8 foot wide, and they were just doing, like you said, just, you know, the cubed, very simple things on the fruit and the fish side and the meat side. And it just was insane. People couldn't get enough.
Right. You know, I think the real magic to it, it's simple. It travels well, and it's unique. It's different. And it has a little aura of being stylish. You know what I'm saying? So that's the magic of poke. So you got a little layer of rice, whether it's, you know, the sushi rice with the vinegar and salt and a little sugar in the sushi rice style, or just regular steamed rice with, you know, or maybe a combo of which we call a hopper rice, which is browned and white rice steamed together. And then, of course, your spicy tuna on top, a little salad on the side, and then, of course, a little aioli, you know, whether it be a spicy aioli or just a regular garlic aioli or even an eel sauce on the top, you know. I mean, and people just go, wow, you know, holding that little bowl in their hand with either a chopstick or a fork. I mean, you're styling, man. Not you're hip, man. You know, you got a poke bowl in your hand. Wow. What's poke bowl, man? Of course, it's a raw fish that's been cured with salt and soy sauce and sesame seed oil, or even like I like to mix it. Some people, you know, they want gluten free, so we got a tamari with it now, you know, tomatoes, avocado, you know, some edamame, some sea salad. I mean, the list can just go on. The play on it is just amazing. And I think that's the magic, you know. And I've been doing poke since I was kind of like couldn't even spell it, you know.
Right.
But, I mean, it's amazing. It's definitely a real proud and a real great time for that island dish, you know.
Well, it's neat to have. a great ambassador like yourself being able to kind of share it with people, because it is so very simple to be able to kind of take ownership of it, share a little bit of the origins, and then all those different takes on it that people can do, I think is important too. Over the years, you know, we've talked that, you know, you've been kind of the, not a personal chef, but certainly like a food guru for Bruno Mars. You'd mentioned that he does, you know, he likes a lot of healthy food, especially for those performances. And if people, you know, some of the listeners have seen him, he's obviously very active on stage and, you know, almost athletic, right? Is that something that he enjoys, the poke?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and that's the magical part of poke. Very healthy. You know, there's really, you know, every time people eat a bowl of poke, they go, God, this is really nice. It's clean. It's fresh. And I feel good. And it's a nice balance, you know, a nice balance of 5 to 6 ounces of protein. And then you got your, you know, your rice for your carbohydrate. And then, of course, then you got your salad. So the blend, it makes it really fresh. It's like a high racehorse eating some good grains and some good fresh greens and, you know, get that in them. And then next thing you know, man, they're ready to go. And I think that's the real magical part of it, you know. And there's really no stopping, you know.
Well, we're going to talk about the places.
You know, the eating of poke, it kind of not only makes, you know, from the celebrities to just the real active people or the people that the IT people that sit around a computer for hours that really burn a lot of energy doing what they do and sit there and have a poke bowl, and the replacement of that energy into their body is just spot on, you know.
See?
And that's the magical.
Yeah. Regardless of what it is, as far as your career, vocation, or the amount of activity that you do, I think that people can enjoy it. It tastes great. It is very healthy. It is very simple. All those things. Want to let the listeners know we're talking with Chef Sam Choi from Hawaii. He is, you know, ambassador of so many of the great things in the cuisine of the islands and the godfather of poke, which is sweeping the globe at this point. So when we come back from this break, and Sam, hopefully you can hold on for a second, we're going to talk about some of the places where you're going with it, some that are sort of expected, some that are kind of amazing, where you're kind of taking it places that you wouldn't necessarily think it would go. Then we'll touch base on something that you and I have worked on with St. Croix and some ways that some of the people can get involved and support some of the cool things in that next generation of chefs that they're producing down there in the islands and for some great causes in St. Croix. So hold tight there. We're going to take a quick break. It's Dane in for Nick here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. It is Dane in for Nick DiGilio until 5 a.m. today. And on the line with us, honored to have James Beard Award-winning chef. You know him from, he was on Chopped Grill Masters, Dino, on the Food Network. You know him from that.
Oh, absolutely.
The godfather of poke himself, the one and only Chef Sam Choi. Sam, welcome back to WGN.
Hey, aloha.
Aloha. All right. So here it is. So you've been doing the poke thing for a while, and I think it's important to let people know, and we talked a little bit about in the last segment, the fact that it's just very nice where you're at, and it's a little bit cold here. But how do the islands celebrate Christmas? How do you guys do it? I know I've been in Honolulu during Christmas time before, where I think at the mall there's a Santa statue where he's wearing kind of surfer board shorts and things like that. But do you guys really get into Christmas?
Yeah, you know, a lot of the beach boys, they have the canoes, and they have Santa come in on the beach in Waikiki on the canoe. That looks really nice with Santa's helpers and things like that. So they kind of play the mix between the ocean and, the natural, you know, idea of bringing the Santa on the canoes. And then, of course, all the shopping malls and all the homes got, you know, fresh cut Christmas trees, and it's all lit up, but it's all about the food during that time of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, once we hit the corner of Thanksgiving, it just goes, the most tuna has been consumed at that time, the most snappers from Opakapaka to the red snapper, the onaga, and all the different great local snappers that we have here in Hawaii are consumed at the most around that time, all the way to New Year's. So really, it's just all about the food. You know, we don't got no, you know, crudité trays of, you know, vegetable sticks. I mean, we're cooking. I mean, they got, you know, no bags of potato chips with salsa dips. I mean, we're cooking food.
You know, right to the source, right to the substance, yeah. Right, Sam?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, what Dino had said, it says right to the good stuff. You know, you don't have like the, like you said, the vegetable sticks. I think that's a little bit healthy, right? But the chips and dip and the salsa, none of that's happening in Hawaii.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on the mainland. You know, they said, let's have dinner, and you roll out a big bag of chips and open it up around a, you know, a big bowl of cheese, you know, some salsa. And I'm like, okay. I mean, God, we got from shrimp to poke to sashimi to more poke than big steamed onagas and paka, you know, sitting there on big platters and everybody's just diving in. And, you know, I mean, it's just the way it is in Hawaii, you know.
Well, Sam, you...
I think, you know, the real nice magical thing about it, it's very consistent, you know, every year. As soon as you make that turn from Thanksgiving, I always kid a lot of people that in Hawaii we change the word Thanksgiving to extreme eating.
You know? Wow, come on. Here, Sam, here in Chicago, we know
I
how
like
to,
that one.
We know how to extreme eat, but here's the thing. So Chicago, great food town. We love our food and all those kind of things, but now you
great
are...
food town. Chicago's a great food town.
You are taking some of the great things and some of the cuisine of the islands, and you're taking it to places that are not that are great cities, but not known as great food towns. And so tell me a little bit about, we talked about it for a second off the air, that you're bringing some of the things that you're doing, some of the great and magical stuff to places like London. Is that true?
Yes, that's going to happen. We got, you know, we're all inked and ready to roll it into London. There's about 2 to 3 locations out there. Let's kind of roll it back. We're solidly invested. Solidly, is that a word? But we're invested, you know, pretty secure in Seattle. We have 2 to 3 locations to be. We got Tacoma, that's already up and running in a freestanding restaurant. We also have Hillman City, which is on Rainier Drive near the big Boeing factory. And then we have all our trucks that go into the corporate offices of Starbucks, downtown, you know, Seattle City. We have kiosks that are selling poke over at the CenturyLink, is home of the Seattle Seahawks, and Safeco Field for the Mariners. So we kind of got ourselves pretty entwined into that city of Seattle. You know, and what's really exciting is to see the lines. I mean, God, the lines at the trucks, the lines at the restaurant, all holding their little special, you know, handcrafted bowls of poke. You know, so anytime when we look at how much usage of fresh fish we're using, it's close to 3,000 pounds a week. Wow. You know, so that's a lot of tuna.
Whoa.
You know, and I keep very close to that part of the industry, you know, being very on the fish watch, making sure that we're not depleting. I remember Chef Paul Prudhomme, when he first came out with blacking, it almost wiped out the snapper, you know, from way back when he did the Cajun blacking, you know, fish.
Yep.
And so I like to keep an eye on the pulse of that, making sure that, you know, we keep a steady flow of not over, you know, using or catching. And they've done a great job, you know. The fish watch group has done a great job. The fishermen have done a great job. So all of those things have all played a major role to build this product. Like when we do go to London, when we do open in Dubai, when we do open in New Zealand, you know, I mean, Australia, South Africa, you know, all these places will be just excited to have this product, you know.
Well, here's the thing about it, though, too, Sam, is that you're sharing something that is, you know, some of the best of what it is that happens on the island on the cuisine side. It's something that you believe in and that you've been enjoying and serving for years and years and years. And now, of course, the world is starting to become aware of it. And because it is so good, it is so fresh, it is the absolute best. This isn't some kind of a, you know, kind of a gimmicky food. This is the good stuff, is that really when people, it's one of those aha moments. I know when it was first here in Chicago, these places have gone gangbusters, and these are tiny little places, but because I think that there's a hunger, no pun intended, for what it is that you're doing and that you're bringing. So congratulations on all that success. It could not happen to a better guy. And you know what? The food itself could not have a better ambassador than you, Sam Choi, kind of being out there, you know, authentically bringing it and sharing it. And so, and like you said, you've got all that thought process and the consideration side of it as well. So this is exciting stuff. So when are you going to come to Chicago with this?
Well, you know, we've been talking with a group out there, so, you know, it'll be a matter of just time as soon as we're ready to roll it and ink it out there. But it's going to happen. You know, it's amazing. You know, the other thing, too, that we do is all our flatware and all our, you know, trays that we put everything on, it's all biodegradable. My partner, Max, and I, we went way back from the beginning to make sure that we're going to go green with that, you know. We're not using no clogging the earth with stuff, you know. We got biodegradable. We got potato starch forks, you know. We use that a lot with all the events that we do, but these are really custom-made trays that we put our food on. It's very unique, you know.
No space-age like copolymers.
Pardon?
Yeah, no space-age copolymers, no like styrofoam, none of that stuff. You've got as all natural as possible.
You know, we're not choking the earth, you know. We do it because we believe in it. There's a lot of other chefs and places, even in Chicago, that are doing it. You know, so hats off to everybody who's jumped on that part of the, you know, the side of food. You know, I think it's not only that it looks really professional, but it's very now, you know. This is what we have to do. And, you know, I feel honestly so proud of not only myself. There's a lot of great chefs out there that are really jumping on this product. You know, this whole concept of poke. And, you know, at first you kind of get nervous. You kind of think like, oh, boy. Is this a just hot flash in the pan? And next thing you know, they go, poke, poke's gone. It came and went. But, you know, there's a strong feeling of this could be around for a while.
Oh, absolutely. As somebody who's been doing this for, you know, a considerable period of time and seen a lot of those things that have had their moment, this is something that is going to be around for quite a while. So excited about that. I know that you and I are going to talk about things that are happening in St. Croix. Let's hold that till maybe after the new year where we can focus on a lot of those things in that next generation. But before we let you go, Chef, give out your social media so people can follow you on Facebook and Instagram. I know there's so many great pictures to go along with all the great food.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, Chef Choi, you know, Gmail, that's my personal email, and then my Instagram, Chef Sam Choi, real simple, you know, and my, you know.
Oh, is it okay? All right, well, we're gonna
lost him there.
Oh, hopefully he's completely fine. So we're gonna take a break. We're gonna head to news and we'll talk with Sam coming up a little bit over the holidays. We've got some great things that we're working on as well for that. Oh, I can't get enough. 720 WGN.
It's going on my alarm clock.
It isn't already on your alarm clock.
Should be.
It's
no.
Your ringtone, Dino.
I haven't had a chance yet, but it's
I'm
going to
call
be.
You just so that I can hear it. 720. Dane in for Nick until 5. Dino Tiberi to my right. Dan Segrew in the booth. And last night, if you'll remember, Dan had unveiled, probably to the vast listening audience in America, this hit that is racing up the charts in Sweden. I don't know if it's a big enough
country. Yeah, I think it's only one.
I don't know if they have an R&B chart in Sweden, and for whatever reason, and I don't know if it is something about it, and I think we talked a little bit about the music that's built into some of the Disney features, and Dan, you had mentioned they're all musicals now. I believe, I'll contend, and before, maybe this probably could not be possible, but because of the success of Frozen, that there's got to be some kind of subliminal, like, mind, you know, kind of addictive quality in there, because those songs became, you know, the folks at Disney, they know what they're doing. And so they've got scientists trying to make things as cool as possible. But didn't it seem like it was so popular, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all the hits.
They, you know, we're more of a Moana family than a Frozen family. you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote the songs for Moana. I mean, so they hire people with theater backgrounds, with musical backgrounds to, you know, basically do the hits. I mean, like, that is what they're all about. So, I mean, Disney knows exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, it, again, I think it really goes down to the music, you know?
And I think there's a parallel to be made with the Goat Christmas album, because someone who is one of the top goat producers, farm animal music minds, yeah, right?
How much would we be talking about Sweden's Action Aid charity if it were not for goat music?
Oh my gosh. It's, for some reason, I don't even know what, I can't put my finger on exactly what it is, but it's kind of like, I really want to hear it. It's sort of fun music. When we hear something we got to mention too, is when we were before the news, we were talking with legendary Hawaiian chef Sam Choi, and he kind of cut out a little bit, and we wanted to update that what happened with Sam is he had dropped his phone, and then when he picked his phone up, he accidentally hit the mute button. So he's perfectly fine.
Well, that's what a lot of people do when I talk. They just hit the mute button. They don't want to hear that anymore. He's done.
So
hit him off.
So I think he was trying to talk, but we couldn't hear him, but we wanted to update because we've had a couple people interested in making sure that he was okay, and he was fine. From a food perspective, he is an absolute legend, and it kind of definitely fits into that whole kind of brush with celebrity, brush with greatness. We love kind of taking that look back and finding out like who you've run into over your life, because it's so funny. You think of somebody that's got kind of a personal, I don't know, image out there, right? You know, this is what the world sees, whether they know them from either their work professionally or their book or their movie or their television career. But when you have that opportunity to run into some of these people, some stars, TV stars, movie stars, sports heroes.
Sure.
You know, that little snapshot doesn't always go, I don't want to say it doesn't always go well, but it just is, it's usually a very individual and kind of unique experience. So Dino, Have you? Is there anybody that you get in 312-981-7200? You can definitely text in. You can definitely call in if you've run into anybody of note that you think that we would recognize. You know, it can't just be, you know, the guy that's only famous in Naperville, maybe.
Well, but sure.
But let's say you ran into Eric Estrada in the airport or something like that. Dino, who?
Well, I ran into Vince McMahon from the World Wrestling Federation in the Las Vegas airport many years ago. He just happened to be picking up his bag right next to him, right near where I was picking mine up, and so I turned around and there he was. I'm like, he's shorter than he appears on TV, but he's a pretty big guy. And so I turned around, I just asked him if I could get a.
How can he be both a big guy and also shorter?
But he's wide. He's like, his shoulders are. You know, he works. Obviously, he's got the body of a. He wrestled. The whole thing, but. I just turned around, and there he was. So I just asked him quickly if I could get a picture with him, and he couldn't have been more nice to me.
Nice.
Yeah, it was good. You know, he said, "Yeah, absolutely." So
there, from the wrestling world, you know,
yeah.
in the manager world, I know he's got the slick back hair, right? Did he look like you? Was it easy to identify?
Yeah, well, there's no question who he was. It's like, you know, I turned around, I immediately recognized him from, you know, watching wrestling on TV. So. I knew who he was.
Vegas has got to be a great place to run into people, right? Because it isn't really a giant town, and probably the ratio of regular people to celebrity types people is probably as high as it gets anywhere.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. There's probably more opportunities to run into someone famous there because, heck, what are they going to do when they need a good time? They go to Vegas just like everybody else.
Or they're performing there.
Right.
I ran into a Louis Anderson from a Vegas standpoint. I want to say run into. He was riding a hover round, and and he seemed kind of crabby and in a hurry. So
you didn't stop and get a picture with him?
He was moving too fast. The hover round is definitely a mode of transportation. You want to get around, you get yourself
a hover round.
Yeah, and his was like a souped up version of it, and he seemed a little crabby and in a hurry, but it was Louis Anderson.
Yeah, well, that's all right. I mean, that, you know, it's funny, over the years I've met, you know, through different radio things and things I've done in the past, as I'm sure you have. I mean, I've ran into another wrestler, Jake the Snake Roberts. I mean, another guy who I hadn't seen in years, and I met Harry Carey's for doing something for the restaurant, and next thing I know, I'm getting a picture taken with him. So it's, you know, now and then you run into a little bit of brush with greatness. How about you?
Wait a minute. Jake the Snake. Now, is he also one of those that is surprisingly diminutive in person?
No, he was about what I expected. He's a little bit just older. I mean,
was he carrying a snake?
He didn't have the snake with him, though. We got a couple pictures with him. He was another one. He was just a nice guy, you know.
Was he okay? Did he go along with being? Did you call him like Mr. the Snake?
Mr.
Robert?
Snake? No, I didn't call him that. I just said.
And how do you enter? Because this is a little bit maybe advice from the listeners as well. Is how do you enter into that conversation? Sometimes you want to give people their space. right?
Sure.
But you see someone famous, maybe you're excited, maybe you appreciate their work, maybe you know someone who does. Back when American Idol was really big, Maxwell was only a couple years old at the time. He was a little kid, and Randy Jackson was there. It was very prominent at the time. So I went up to say my wife had been watching that show, and so I had Maxwell with me, and a kid's always a great conversation starter. I'm doing the air quotes, and so I said, "Mr. Jackson, my son is a huge fan of yours," and he was only 2 years
Sounds
old.
Sounds great, dog.
Well, his exact words were, "Well, he's like, is that right? What's up, little dog?"
And then he shook hands.
Now, we didn't have it wasn't the social media kind of phenomenon where otherwise that would have been up on Instagram.
Oh, absolutely.
Right away. So Dan, so you find yourself in situations, you know, whether it's hotel lobbies or whether it's, you know, in Vegas at a restaurant at an event, some of those things. But you've got one that I thought was pretty cool as well. So you ran into somebody famous in an odd setting to start a conversation.
I attended Mass with Kevin James.
Was this
the King of Queens and you at church?
Yeah. So Holy Name Cathedral has a 6 a.m. Mass. And so occasionally after work, I would go there to attend Mass. And so it was one of those things where I went that morning.
Are you sure it was him?
It was.
Because my wife is really bad about that. She'll be like, "That is so-and-so." And I'm like, "That is not."
there was a couple of reasons why I know it was him. So, you know, at that time of the morning, because it's such a massive church, everybody's pretty spaced out. So everybody's basically at their own pew, you know? So what happened was, and when I first noticed him was at the sign of peace, because nobody's close enough to shake hands, everybody just kind of turns around and waves.
And I love it.
And so
peace be with you from like on the other side of the church.
Right. You over there.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there, you know, I'm standing up, we're doing, you know, doing the look around. And then I 3 or 4 rows ahead of me, it's Kevin James. And I'm like, "It's Kevin James."
Did you say that?
I did not out loud, but in my head. And then I'm like, "Oh my God." And then I had read earlier that he was in town filming The Dilemma with Ron Howard and Vince Vaughn. So I'm like, "That's him." I mean, like, it makes sense. I know for a fact Kevin James is in Chicago. That looks like Kevin James. I'm attending Mass with Kevin James. So my favorite two parts of the story, again, because it's kind of sparsely populated, what ends up happening is everybody, you know, kind of gets in line. So even though, you know, he's like 5 or 6 pews in front of me, I'm only maybe 6 people behind him in terms of getting communion.
Right.
And the priest recognized him.
Wait a minute.
Not shout out like, "You're Kevin James," but like the priest definitely recognized him, because like by the time I got up there, you could tell he just had this grin on his face. Like, "I just gave communion to the King of Queens," because he kind of had just like this starstruck look in his eyes. And then sure enough, when I walked by him, I gave a look again and it was Kevin James. So Mass ends, you know, he walks out and so like at the end, like he was kind of walking to the McDonald's that's right across
the street. Of course
he was. Yeah, exactly. And so like somebody waves at him like, "Hey man," he's like, "Hey, how you doing?" And then, you know, kept walking, and that was my massive Kevin James.
I thought maybe he had his Mets jersey on right there in church, because he wears that stuff.
And he's such a physical comedian, so I didn't know if he was doing cartwheels down the down the center aisle there. And if you've ever watched Paul Blart Mall Cop, and it's actually one of Maxwell's favorite, I cannot explain. I have no idea why. Because, you know,
I watch it. I was entertained.
I mean, it's like one of his absolute. It's like, "Ooh, Paul Blart."
Like physical comedy, you gotta like that movie.
Yeah, so I just didn't know. That's crazy, right? And see, now that's an awkward place to be able to, because you know, there's obviously church going on.
We were gonna have a conversation or have a beer or anything, but yeah, it was pretty funny.
So that's another thing we can add to it, and we're gonna go to break in just a second, but like odd places to run into a celebrity where it's inappropriate, maybe what because you mentioned the priest seemed excited. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Excited that Kevin James is there kind of hanging out and doing it with you. I remember when, do you remember, this we're going a little bit way back thing, but you remember when Mike Ditka got either a DUI or he got like pulled over after one of the playoff games.
I think I have a copy of his DUI report somewhere at home.
Okay, when you're like Bulldog Drummond or something.
That's right. No, actually, I don't know how I got a hold of that. But
so here's the okay. So this is one of those stories. So back then, this is in the heyday of the, you know, the Bears, 85 Bears. The Bears were as big as it got, and Mike Ditka was a huge, you know, iconic force. So any chance that you can get an opportunity to hang out with him would be really cool. So me and a friend took the day off of school and went to court to his court case, really? Right, where there was a hearing for this thing. So he had a lawyer and he said, "Hey, gang," or whatever. And I was there with a Dick Johnson from
Channel 7 at the time.
I think it might have been Channel 7. It might have been NBC. I can't remember where it was. But here was what struck me as a younger person, just a kid, basically, and then seeing, because the situation that kind of brought him to the courtroom was not a positive one, right? This was something negative. But the judge, get this, and here's the judge caught up in the whole thing. He goes, his first line wasn't, "This is disappointing. Obviously, people look to you as a role model." He's like, great to have you, coach. And the judge brought his kids to court with him.
Oh,
he's
no.
He's like, "Can you take a picture with my kids?"
Oh, my God. And that was before he sentenced them. That was in court.
That was the first thing. It's like, next case, because they had people that, had whatever manner of problems.
Sure.
And then it was Mike Ditka.
Yeah, and then they circle back later.
"Hey, coach, great to have you here." And he said, "I hope you go 19-0. And then he had his kids there with him. The kids ran out from around, and there you go. We all hope that our brush with court would be welcomed so warmly.
Wow.
312-981-7200. If you got a story, anything like that, or any kind of brush with greatness, we've got a few that we're going to be able to read some texts. And of course, you can call and give them to Dan. Talk to us on the air as well. Quick break. Dane in for Nick here on 720 WGN. Okay, so brushes with greatness. I'm sure some of those people in Sweden that are running into those celebrity goats are thinking, like, "Hey, what are some of the biggest celebrity animals? Do you know what was it?" remember back, Leo Cassiteri, who was a friend of Joe's. He was the producer of the Morris the Cat commercials, and I guess there was Morris the Cat was. If you remember Morris the Cat.
Oh, I do.
Right. He was notoriously finicky.
Didn't want to eat anything.
Right. Except for tender vittles or whatever his obligated brand.
Yeah.
Right. He would eat that. So I'm sure those goats are kind of getting a little bit of that attention.
Yeah. I've never met any famous animals. I think I got to limit mine to people. I never met Mr. Ed. I was a little young for that, so
I'm sure he would have been very friendly. So bears are animals, and when it comes to bears, we do have a text from the 815. As kids, we ran into Refrigerator Perry at a hotel, and my mom was so excited, and I got one of these too. She was excited to get a picture with us, and he said no.
Oh, man, what the heck?
But as we know, think about this. Here's the thing. We project all of our kind of just excitement and expectations on some of these people, and they're human beings, and maybe he's had some trouble. He's had issues like all of us, where it just wasn't a good day for him.
Yeah, there's times where, I've seen people and I don't want to bother them, if they're having a meal or whatever, and, you're in a restaurant with certain, people, a celebrity or whatever, and it's like, well, I don't want to bother them. They're eating. I mean, if I get a chance afterwards and they have a second and they're willing to do it, fine. But
have you ever had a kind of a dangerous situation where you met somebody that you really liked and then you realized that not only were they not happy to see you, but you actually could be physically harmed by them?
No, I don't think I ever had that situation happen, but where I felt threatened. You mean like someone was gonna, yell at me, or even worse, take a swing at me?
A couple of those. One is a story, and one is a personal experience. So Sterling Sharp, you remember him, long time wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, he was very good receiver.
He was a good receiver.
Yep.
Right, right. People would say in the Sharp family, it wouldn't be Shannon that would say this, but that he was maybe the best receiver in the
quite
family.
Possibly. If he didn't get injured toward the end of his career, there he may well have been one of the best of all time.
Career cut short. So here it is. So my mom and I were in, and here's how just it all ties together. We were in Hawaii, of all places, to see the Pro Bowl, and there was a Sterling Sharp, who was well known in the Midwest and a Green Bay Packer and all that kind of stuff. So he's there walking with, I think, a stroller and his wife. They're walking down, I'm excited to see like a player that I was familiar with.
Sure.
So I went up to him like, hey, Sterling Sharp, can I get an autograph? This was a time when you couldn't just automatically do a Facebook Live and like just get them into doing stuff.
Exactly.
And now he's done some work on some of the shows and been a correspondent. He's a lot, kind of friendly than he was as a player. He was kind of not the friendliest guy, typically. But I figured since I was so excited to see him, he'd be excited to see me, and apparently that wasn't the case because I
treated you like a defensive back.
Well, I asked for an autograph, and I said, like, hey, you know, Sterling, can I get an autograph? And he's like, oh, you know, man, I'm on vacation is what he said. And so then my mom was there and she, of course, defending her son, and she knew how excited I was. And she was like, your whole life is a vacation. That's what,
right. Oops.
And then he looked at me, and you know that look, anybody that's been out, a student of, I don't know, potential and imminent punishment. He gave me this look like you better back her off. You better take care of that lady, or I'm going to take care of you. And he gave me this mean death stare.
Look of disdain right there.
Not disdain.
Just death.
Like I better watch
you
out.
You better watch
and
out.
And I felt it. You know, it's one of those, you know it when you see it.
Oh,
things,
man.
Right?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, never mind. We're out of here. So
we got it. Sorry, didn't mean to bother you.
Other story. I did not experience this, but these are friends. So this happened. This wasn't like our alien stories where it's like someone said they were probed and you're like, well, I'm not sure that happened. You know, that could have been the mad dog,
of course,
talking. Is they ended up being at a bar, some kind of in Chicago, some kind of, you know, after hours establishment, and Leon Spinks was there. Now you'll remember Leon Spinks.
I have an autographed photo of Leon Spinks at home in a frame. My cousin has had a connection with him.
See, well, that sounds like a much more cordial interaction than I'm about to relay.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, so you get a situation where, you know, if you're famous for being tough, right? You were the heavyweight champion of the world at one time.
Of course.
And I think an Olympic gold medalist. And regardless of what age you may be, even if you're always going to be
a fighter.
And you're probably way tougher than anyone else in the bar.
Still,
even if you got knocked out by Muhammad Ali.
Right.
It doesn't mean you can't beat up everyone else within like a 50-mile radius.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, so I guess one of the friends decided that, you know, that, you know how it is. Like, he doesn't look that tough. I can take him. Right. And so he wanted to start. Yeah. Well, it escalated to a point where it was immediately apparent that, because, you know, if you're Leon Spinks and you've been in a lot of fights, right? This isn't a foreign situation.
It's no big deal to you.
Right. It's not like you're William Shatner fighting the Klingons. You don't really do it. Right. Like, he really punches people.
Yeah.
And, so we had to, like, de-escalate that because he was fully willing to.
All right.
Like,
let's take this outside. Let's get it on. Come on.
Right. Absolutely.
Let's take this outside.
Yeah. So,
what'd you do last night? I almost got in a fight with Leon Spinks.
Which would have ended badly. I think it would have ended probably for everybody involved at that point. So, Dan, have you ever had been confronted by a celebrity? Good thing Kevin James didn't try to attack you.
Yeah, I don't think so. My only other story was I was at a concert and
this is the only other one.
Excluding here at the radio station.
Oh, gotcha.
Sure. Okay. I mean, like,
people on their best behavior.
I bumped into Richard Kind one time in the green room.
I got a Richard Kind story.
Oh, really?
He lost his socks. We were in New York. It was Mario Batali's golf outing. Chris, you can't talk about him because, you know, he's got his own situation now, but, and he had lost it. I had to spend a good half an hour looking for Richard Kind's socks so I could put him on a helicopter and send him back to Manhattan. Very nice. He was a very nice man. Richard Kind.
He was a very nice man. When I bumped into him, I apologized, and he had no problem. He was promoting Family Feud because he had just started hosting it, I think, or something. So,
that doesn't sound like a good fit. Richard Kind.
That's a little odd right there.
You got a Richard Dawson, right? Who that was back when you could kiss every contestant.
And he sure did.
And then a funny man, Ray Combs, was also
and your friend Louis Anderson was a host too.
And this is before the hover round. did he ever do that show on a hover round?
Didn't do it.
I don't think so. We're going to take a break in just a second. Here's one from the 219. My unique brush with greatness came in 1999 at O'Hare Airport. Actually walked past and said hi to Pete Rose and ABC sportcaster Jim Rose, probably part of the War of the Roses. And same trip through a terminal. And what are the odds of a double Rose meeting? Well, I'm sure Pete Rose would have bet on what the odds were. So I hope that was a joke that was there.
Yeah, my buddy met him out in Vegas. He got his picture taken with him and the whole bit. And, because now Pete Rose is just sits in Las Vegas and signs autographs for money.
That's not okay. I would have agreed with you if this was a year and a half ago, but I saw him do some of that color commentary for the MLB Network. He's quick. He's right there. I thought he did a really great job.
Yeah, and then there was some sort of issue with them, and they pulled him off the network recently too. So
was he gambling on the length of the commercial break?
I don't know if it was some kind of, I don't know what you want to speculate.
Okay.
It was something they pulled him off the air for. It was something that happened a long time ago.
Okay, we're going to get to the bottom of that. 720 WGN, Dane in for Nick until 5 a.m. today. Here, we're high atop the showcase studio. We're the highest showcase studio available here on the 7th floor. Dino Tiberi to my right, Dan Segru in the booth. And we've been talking a little bit about kind of brushes with celebrity people that you've met over the years of whatever kind of brand of notoriety. And, you know, and whether it was a fulfilling experience, it's the kind of thing that people, once that happens, they'll go and tell that story for the rest of their lives.
Oh, sure.
You know, and yep. So if you are, you know, a person of note and you get to have to run into a bunch of people, you know, some people are always looking for opportunities to run into people, right? They're always, yeah. You could tell they're like, I'm excited. And then some people are like, you know, get back.
It's okay. Share that with someone else there, pal.
Yeah, or whatever. Or they're just, that just isn't their thing. You know, Right. They're just not like great public people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an autograph guy. I like taking pictures if I, you know, get the opportunity with celebrities, but, you know, but I'm not, a lot of people like to get the autograph. I'm like, yeah, it's no big deal. You know, you get to see him in person, you take the picture, it works. As long as you don't bother him, I guess. You know, that's the way I look at it.
Different. And so Dick Enberg was one of the things. And so from a sports perspective, you know, a lifelong sports fan, obviously, you know, you're a lifelong sports fan. And so sometimes those personalities that are the kind of the voices of the sports become celebrities too. You know, even though, you know, they're kind of showcasing what is, and usually the athletes is obviously that's the star of the game, but Dick Enberg, that's a legend right there.
Yeah, that's a guy that's done a lot of different sports. He's very versatile. One of those voices you would hear and you would know you were listening to Dick Enberg because of his delivery and the way that he, you know, covered the game that he was working. So it's, you know, it's a big loss. He was working with the Padres up until about 2 years ago.
The Dodgers.
Yeah, and, you know, right around the time that Vin Scully stepped down. So they were, he was 82 years old. He has a long career and a very good announcer. I really enjoyed listening to him.
Yeah, in a world where it isn't really all that easy to become a, you know, quote unquote celebrity, kind of bigger than life. You know, Harry Carey is one that's right. That is here. You know, far as you know, one of our local personalities that doing something like calling a baseball game, not always the most glamorous thing that you can do, but really kind of transcended all that stuff, was one of the biggest personalities in Chicago.
Yeah, we were kind of blessed with Harry, and then Jack Brickhouse before him with the Cubs. You know, and Jack also did some Bears games, you know, back in the day as well. So, we've been kind of fortunate in that respect. And then also now with a few other guys, Pat Foley for the Hawks, a guy that's been synonymous with them for a long time. So, you know, Dick Enberg, you know, an icon in his own right, doing national events, tennis. He did everything. I mean, there weren't a lot of events that he didn't have a part of over the years.
Yeah, so. Consummate professional when you can do that. So we've talked about it. The airport is usually a good Vegas, right? Yeah. You'll run into a Louis Anderson in Vegas, so, you know, or maybe an event of some kind, certainly a trade show. But the airport is another great place to run into celebrities. We've got Chris on the line. Chris from Midway, welcome to WGN.
Hey, how are you doing?
We're doing good. So Chris, did you run in? Are you from Midway? Are you in Midway now, or did you run into a famous person at Midway?
I live by Midway.
Okay, excellent. So give us your story. Who did you run into?
My first one is I worked with my buddy in a production company, and one night we were doing it at a bar, and it ended up being for Matt Guitar Murphy.
Oh, from the Blues Brothers. Yeah. I just watched that movie the other day.
Yeah, it was really cool. Great guy.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, wow.
How's Matt looking these days?
He was big man.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Big man. The second one was my ex-wife and I had gone to a wrestling match at Rosemont. There was a bar across the street that was known for, that's where the guys would go after the match. So sure enough, all the guys come in, all the headliners and that, and I was sitting there talking to Greg the Hammer Valentine. And he taps me, he looks at me, he goes, you might want to turn around. He goes, see what's going on. And I look behind me. The two bushwhackers were trying to hit up my wife.
So, Chris, now what do you, obviously, you mentioned it was your ex-wife. So, you know, and relationships are tough, and we know that. But, like, how do you handle that when it's, let's say it's someone you're a fan of, and they're, you know, it's great to have them around and to talk to them, but they're hitting on your wife. That's almost unacceptable.
Well, she was actually talking to the ring girl, so that's why I didn't pay attention. And that's when Valentine told me, "But you want to turn around." And I was like, all right, boys, that's enough. Cut it out.
The bushwhackers saw that opportunity and they sprung into action.
You got to be careful. They'll throw Chris into the turnbuckle.
That's right. They'll start doing
I'm telling you. It was a good time, though. Good time. Nice guys.
All right. Thanks, Chris. We appreciate it.
Great show. Happy holidays.
All right. You
thanks,
too.
You too.
Merry Christmas. So you think so? Chicago, I remember, you know, growing up watching on a grainy television, you know, the stars of the AWA, the wrestling guys. And so you'd have a Kenny the Sodbuster J, an occasional visit from a Hulk Hogan or those kind of,
sure.
Or a Tito Santana kind of situation. Moose Jolak.
Yeah, UConn. I met him. The guy is... His hands were, I mean, he shook his hand. I was like, gee, his hand was like twice the size of mine. I'm like, what the heck? No wonder you're a wrestler.
Is that a Chicago thing? Is that a Chicago Midwest thing? Or do you think there's people in, you know, Topeka, Kansas that
have those same? Well, I think back in the day they were doing it all over the place. You know, they were going wherever the cash was at. So, you know, UConn Moose Jolak, though, he was a local legend.
It was like a traveling kind of circus situation. Yeah, you wonder about that. You know, I think I've had... Now that I think about it, I think I've had situations like that where, you know, you're like, hey, you know, you're excited to meet the person.
Sure.
And we've already talked about where you're kind of personally in danger, you know, where you're afraid they're going to beat up your mom.
Yeah, don't turn your back on him. You might get.
But then you have to realize that just as we've said it, right? They maybe having a bad day that one day, but maybe that celebrity has needs too.
Oh, well, sure.
So you got to watch out.
You could take him out of the ring, but next thing you know, you never know what's going to happen.
Oh my gosh!
Wow.
So one of my summer jobs through school was working the back gate at Alpine Valley. So a lot of the, you know, your musicians and your celebrity types,
they're all going through there.
Yeah, we would run into them, and so I ended up. It was during the Girls tour. I got Tommy Lee. If you remember who Tommy Lee was,
absolutely.
He was the longtime drummer, longtime. Tall, skinny drummer, tattooed guy for Motley Crue. And so, because you always wonder, what are you going to say if you run into someone that, you know, that either you're excited to meet or it's someone you've appreciated their career and you kind of want to, you know, go up and say hello. And you could say the normal thing, hey, can I get a picture? That seems pretty normal,
yeah.
Right? But let's say you do have some kind of a personal story, connection, history, you know, and more than just, you know, hey, you're great, you know, or really, right?
Right, right.
I'm sure they hear that a lot. Yeah. And you don't want, I mean, you'd like to be.
You'd like to be original if you can, if you have something,
I mean,
but most people
something.
Don't.
If you have something, and so for Tommy Lee, I got him to, I ended up having like this was a rare occurrence. I had like a $10 bill, and I had him autograph a $10 bill. Well, as you could imagine, Dino, you know, as a struggling college kid, you know, at times I would need that $10, right? So I had that $10 pinned to my wall, you know, signed by
until
Tommy.
You were too broke, and then you spent it.
Well, I needed gas one day, and so but understanding that you know. $10 bill signed by Tommy Lee is worth far more
$12
than a $10 bill with just you know Hamilton on it. So yeah, that would have been I would have gone along with that. The gas station guy just it was not having it. He was not aware really of the success or maybe the talent of a Tommy Lee, and he just
did he not accept the bill.
No, of course, it was still worth $10.
Oh, sure.
I was looking for, you know, this is a special bill. Like, it was the only thing I had. Otherwise, why would you have him sign that? That
right.
just seemed dumb. But it was the only piece of paper that I had. And so years later, fast forward years later, I'm at Guy Fieri's birthday celebration out in Santa Rosa, California. And he is friends with Tommy Lee. And
so Tommy Lee was there? Where
so
you,
was Tommy Lee. Yes.
Was there.
Yeah, so Tommy Lee.
Did you share the story with him?
I did. And he seems, you know, they thought it was kind of, but, you know, it's one of those things where it's a great story. I mean, I thought, well, it's a personal story anyway, but apparently I should have just gone with you're great because that's really what he was more interested in. So.
did you tell him, yeah, you signed a $10 bill for me and then I spent it.
It's kind of. Right,
because that's probably not where you want to go with that.
Right,
one.
When you say it back to me, it sounds kind of like probably how it sounded to him, because it wasn't. I got like halfway into it. It's a long story, and it was like, yeah, where are we going with this? Like, I signed a $10, and what are we doing with that? And yeah,
right.
So I'm like, never mind. Good to see you.
Thanks for telling me that. Oh, man. Well, time for a little weather, Dane.
Not yet.
Almost.
Okay. Well, we've got like a minute or so. 312-981-7200. Your brushes with greatness, celebrities, anybody. If it's a wrestler, I think those were great stories. If you almost were attacked or beaten up, or your significant other was harassed or maybe even stolen, right, by somebody of note, you can definitely share that with us. Or if you met somebody that you maybe were surprised by how great they were. That would be nice, too. We could share that, especially coming up to the holiday season. 312-981-7200. We've got a number. We'll share. Dan will print them out after this break. 720 WGN. It is Dane in for Nick DiGilio until 5 a.m. today. Here we are high atop, right? Seventh floor, Allstate Showcase Studio. Dino Tiberi to my right, the physical embodiment of Harry Carey. So he's met himself when he's busy doing the Harry Carey voice. Do you ever sit back and say, it's good to meet you, Dino?
It's good to meet you, Dino. I'm...
Right?
No, I don't know.
And then Dan Segrew in the booth. So a lot of great ones coming up. I loved this one. Is Steve from Plainfield. He was skiing with friends in Aspen. No one wanted to go out, so he decided to go by himself. Always a good idea, especially if you have a compound fracture. And you... sure enough, the person next to me at the chairlift was George Hamilton.
There he was, and it was glowing.
Yes, he was so tan. I had the most brilliant white teeth. We skied together all day. It was so... That is a beautiful thing. Now, he's one of those guys that I would love to meet George Hamilton because he just always seems like he is always tan, in a good mood. But that's a high bar to maintain because let's say you're feeling a little pale, Dino, and you're thinking, I can't go outside.
There's no way I can go outside and stand next to him.
Finger licking. Wrong guy, but same commercial. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So here's the other ones, too. We got some local, people that are local, but also kind of national and amazing, too. So Andy is on the line. Andy, Muhammad Ali, right? You met him?
That's correct. That was in Labor Day of 87. My wife and I just got engaged, and he was at the airport. His wife's next to him reading a book, and I went to him, and for some reason I told him that we just got engaged. He smiles at us. And says, and wrote down on my airline ticket that two Indian Liz, love is like a net where hearts are caught like fish. And he drew a heart and he signed his name.
Wow. So that's a great personal story and great advice, too. And I think you're an incredible example. You didn't challenge him to a fist fight if you heard a little bit.
Probably would have lost that one.
Of our Leon Spinks conversation. Yeah. That's great. You know, you hear about that he was, you know, so much more than just an athlete and a great boxer and a controversial, you know, figure in our history, is that he was, you know, a sensitive guy, had a lot to say. That's awesome that you had that. That's great.
Yeah. We still have that. Ticket.
All right.
But yeah, it was a nice meeting.
All right. Good. Thanks, Andy. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing. That's great. When it comes to kind of Chicago sports icons, and of course, you know, Muhammad Ali had a great history. Lived in Chicago for a number of years. But Jim, you know, Walter Payton, and this is a guy that we all know, and we lost way too soon. You know, we would love to have years of running into him at airports. It just wasn't to be. But Jim, Walter Payton, right?
Yeah, Walter Payton, I used to be part of a medical team. We used to give them their physicals, and they'd always come through, the whole team, trainers, everybody, but Walter would always come through, and I would be in the back of the thing where you give them chest x-rays, draw their blood, give them EKGs, that type of deal, and he'd come back, and he'd do everything except the blood draw. And I'd say, Walter, this is mandatory. You have to do this. He goes, there's no way. You're not getting no blood. I'm not having nothing to do with it. And let him go. The doctor came through. The team doctor came through, said, that's okay. We'll get it later. The next year, he came through again. We knew each other on a first-name basis, Jim and Walter. I said, Walter, are we getting your blood this year? Nope. He says, I got to tell you. I says, why don't you want your blood drawn? I says, I'm good. You won't, you know, no problems. He goes, there's three things in the world I'm afraid of. And I go, what's that, Walter? Tell me. And he goes, my mother, spiders, and needles. And got up, got dressed, and walked off, and a team doctor came on again and said, don't worry, we'll get it later. And then, you know, I'm pondering it, and I'm thinking, I wonder if that's why he runs so fast.
Maybe someone's chasing him with a needle.
Or a spider.
Yeah, but,
or his mom's chasing him.
Yeah, but unbelievable. But for the 3 years that I was there, it was a mandatory thing. He never got his blood drawn. The other thing was when he took his height, weight, and girth, he always tried to be an inch taller than what he was.
Don't we all?
You know, they'd say, like, oh, you're 5'9". No. I'm 5'10". I'm 5'10".
Oh, that's gross. See, and he has like a famous sense of humor too. Did he ever kind of joke around with you?
Fantastic. Yeah. Great man.
Oh, wow. Jim, thanks so much for sharing.
Okay. You guys, great show. Have a good holiday, huh?
All right, you too.
You
thanks.
Bet. Yeah, Merry Christmas. See, that's it's the kind of thing that it's like that's like a normal kind of experience, but it's the kind of thing you get to run into some of these people that, unfortunately we don't have with us anymore, but those kind of interactions, like a pretty normal everyday interaction.
Sure.
But I did not know that Walter Payton. Jared is here on a regular basis to talk about that. I didn't know he was afraid of his mom. I think that's, a lot of people have that, for healthy, healthy kind of reasons, right? Your mom wants the best for you and she's going to, hit you with something if you don't do what you're supposed to do. But spiders? Are you afraid of spiders, Steve?
You know what? Not really. I mean, I see them and I usually just try to dispose of them as quickly as possible, but I'm not afraid of them. I mean,
What does that mean? This isn't like a challenge. Like I would, if a spider came at me, I would defend myself.
Absolutely. If it's threatening me, then it has to be taken down.
I don't like spiders at all. And it's so weird because you're just hardwired to do it, whether it's needles. I don't really like needles, but it's not. But Bill Leff here at the station will not let. He's just afraid of needle. Not, I don't want to say afraid, but just really adverse to the idea of a needle. It's the kind of thing that just bugs you. I don't like spiders at all. Spiders are, but then again, snakes. I don't really mind snakes, but you have some people, get that thing away from me. That's what my wife always says.
I'm not a big fan of snakes. I mean, if there was one near me, I'd probably run the other way. I'm not a big fan of snakes. I don't.
Oh, you don't have to be a fan.
I'm just saying. I just don't like them.
Okay,
either.
Dan, is there anything that's irrational? That it isn't where the fear kind of exceeds the sum of the on paper parts, right? The spider, a little tiny spider, technically you should be okay, but people hate them. You got anything like that?
Identical twins freak me out. I went to grade school with identical twins, so it's not
I don't know that I've ever heard anything stranger than that.
Identical twins?
That you're afraid of identical twins?
It's one of those things where I didn't have a problem with them in grade school. We were totally cool with each other, Joe and Frank, and we were friends, and everything was fine. But I don't know, as I got older, they just something about them just kind of freaks me out. Every time I watch Property Brothers, I enjoy the show and I've gotten over it, but like the first couple times I was unsettled. I just couldn't deal for some reason. And
you would have freaked out if you were at Harry Carey's last
because they had that twin.
I was there
things.
I was one of the only people that wasn't a twin that morning. It was insane. I mean, there were like 30 pairs of twins in the morning there, and then later on they had even more of them come out for the actual toast.
Well, Dan, it's crazy. I mean, I could see it. You remember the movie The Shining, right, where they've got those two girls come out and play, and they've got the matching dresses, and that seems kind of creepy. I could see you being afraid of that, but the Property Brothers.
Yeah, they're harmless. Come on.
And I know those guys.
I was going to say, you've talked to them on occasion.
Oh, yeah. No, and so they've got an extra brother named JD who we know as well, and so here's what they do. I think probably to allay the fears of, because you're not alone, Dan. There's other people out there probably terrified of them. And is what they do is they kind of offset the identical twinness by one is the business twin. He's wearing a suit and a tie. Right. He's on his cell phone. He's wheeling. He's dealing. Right. And then the other one is like Jonathan is he's the construction twin. So he has typically a plaid shirt on, a little bit more stubble and scruff, and he's wearing a tool belt.
So they're not exactly identical in their appearance, but whereas that day they all were.
I think if they wanted to look
and stuff the same,
I think if they wanted to look exactly alike, the Property Brothers were going back to that. They could easily do that. I think they purposely have different
right
identities. And
Jonathan's got a bit of a 5 o'clock shadow.
Sure. The flannel shirt.
I wonder
if for Halloween they went if they just did like a swap. He puts on a suit. You're like, I'm this guy. That's kind of strange. I've never heard of anyone being afraid of twins.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Every time I see a commercial with one, I'm kind of like,
Like the Double Mint twins? Like you purposely, that whole, don't chew that gum based on?
I'll chew other Wrigley gum. I won't chew that.
Says the word double in it. Twins. That's I can't chew that.
Right. Okay. Well, 847 met Bill Murray at a Highland Superstore in Elgin. He asked about a computer.
Of course he did.
Because he needs that stuff. It was at a hotel bar and had drinks with Dave Matthews for an hour. Really cool guy. Very nice. So there's some interactions. People shopping, getting computers and maybe a beverage. You can go ahead and do that. 720 WGN, Dane in for Nick until 5 a.m. today. And we're talking a little bit about brushes with, I don't want to say greatness because not all of them are particularly great, but brushes with celebrity, whether it's a local celebrity, national celebrity, worldwide celebrity. Some of them have gone really well and been kind of heartwarming experiences. Yeah. Some have been kind of fun and funny, and some of them have been slightly terrifying and maybe a little bit negative. And so we're kind of sharing them, and you can share yours as well as you have been doing. 312-981-7200. Dan had found a couple online that were, I think, were kind of interesting. The Chuck Norris phenomenon. And this is where, when it's one thing if, let's say, you write a book and you're on a book tour and people are asking you about the book, or maybe you have a role in a movie and people keep asking you about the, or calling you right by that role in the movie. For Chuck Norris, now Chuck Norris has been a passenger on this. This is something, I don't think that Chuck Norris is like, I got to come up with something, right? He had this. So do a couple of the jokes, right? It became sort of a phenomenon, right? Where Chuck Norris was built into all of these crazy jokes about him being great, right?
But yeah. Chuck Norris once hosted America's Most Wanted. Every wanted man on the planet turned himself in before the first commercial break.
Because it's kind of like, you know, Chuck Norris is sort of the tough version of the most interesting man in the world. Oh, absolutely.
Jack Nicholson had told Chuck Norris that he can handle the truth.
So here's the thing. This is one that Dan had found. Chuck Norris tipped me $150 on a $30 bill. It was right around the time that all of the Chuck Norris jokes were becoming popular. And while I was taking the order, I overheard a coworker make one of the jokes, saw Chuck's face sort of tighten up, like, not this again.
Oh, no.
And I politely excused myself, took the other employees aside, and told them to leave him alone so he could eat. See, that's good.
Wow, that is good.
Well, because, you know, and Chuck's an older guy, but certainly a tough guy. But some points, you know, it's
you probably get sick of hearing it if you don't, you're not into it. But, you know, these are fantastic. I mean, I could read these all night.
Yeah. Well, so because he's tough and he's great. And we talked about it. You know, you go up to people and a lot of times your fans, like, the biggest thing you can say to them is how great you are. Right. And LaVon is on the line. He's got a brush with one of the greatest of all time. LaVon, welcome to WGN.
Hi. Thank you. I ran into Michael Jordan.
Now, how does that go? You know, because you don't, you know, he's the kind of guy that you don't, as much as he is so identified with Chicago sports, Bulls, all that kind of, he's not the kind of guy that you run into all the time. He doesn't do a ton of media.
Right.
So how did it go? Where did you meet him and what happened?
We were at one of the playoff games. We flew from Chicago to Detroit when they were playing Detroit, and that was back when it was called the Palace. And I don't even know if the Palace is still up nowadays, but Charles Barkley was there. It was back in 88 or 89 when they were on their roll there. And we went and saw the game, and we were heading back to the airport. And this is before, I think, they had, like, private planes for the players. And I saw Michael Jordan on the phone, and I told my fiancé and my girlfriend and her husband, I said, I'm not going to get on the plane till I get his autograph. So I kind of, like, hung around the area, and then when he hung up the phone, he was on a payphone, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
Now you're dating
that's
yourself.
That's how long ago it was, yeah. So he was on a payphone, and I said, hey, we flew out here from Chicago to see you play tonight. And I had two Palace tickets, one for me and my fiancé at the time, now husband, and I said, could you sign them? And he signed them. I couldn't believe it. I think he signed one or two other people after that, but they were like, God, you were so lucky to get his autograph. He was really nice. I mean, it was right after the game, and it was just a great thing. It was cool.
It's tough because, you know, one of the greatest of all time on the basketball side, for sure, but one of the biggest stars.
And, my first son is named Michael.
is he named after Michael? There's a lot of Michaels that aren't named
after
Michael.
But it was after Michael Jordan. We love watching
him. Wow.
Now we live in Arizona. We moved here like 7 years ago.
Oh, that's high praise. But you know what? You were so lucky because not only would that never happen, him on a payphone someplace, but also too, is that you get a situation where if he signs for one person, you know, Michael Jordan is physically an obvious person, right? It's like, you know that, hey.
Right.
And then once they see someone signing for someone else, like, well, who is that? Oh, wait a minute. Like, he'd be there all day. So you were lucky to get that early.
Yeah. Plus,
well, it was a late night and it was a late game. And I just happened to be at the right place at the right time.
Well, plus now,
so really lucky.
You caught him at a good time because, you know, during that time, he'd just only been in the league for a few years.
Right.
And also, he probably didn't have the entourage that he had later on in his career because he always had people around him, You know, that would probably help, you know.
To tell you, LaVon, he just doesn't have time.
To ward off people trying to get autographs from him.
Exactly. And I heard you talking about Walter Payton, and you know, I hear Jared all the time on WGN. We have it on the house all the time, even though we're in Arizona.
Nice.
And Walter Payton used to draw out, run up this hill where we used to live. We used to live in Terramere and Buffalo Grove.
Yep.
It was off like Lake Cook Road and Arlington Heights Road. And he used to run up this hill when I used to walk my kids, like in the stroller and that. I'd see him running up the hill. But now it's a big park and like a little golf course.
Yeah, it's a nickel roll golf course.
Garbage dump, yeah.
Yeah, right.
But we used to see him run up the hill. It was so exciting.
Yeah, no, that hill is legend. And that workout, right? I think they did a bunch of specials on that.
Yeah, they
it was
showed
almost straight
a lot
up.
Of, there were a lot of different stories of people trying to run up there with him and they couldn't cut it. And I think Ahmad Rashad even tried to run up there once with him.
Ahmad Rashad?
No,
yeah.
I don't know.
There's some Vikings.
Somebody tried to run up there with him, didn't make it.
Well, LaVon, I know it's a little bit earlier there, so thanks so much for taking time out. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for being on WGN.
Yes, it's a pleasure to listen to you guys tonight. And it gives me a little bit of Chicago back home. And have a Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yeah, you too. All right. Wow, that's
Take
awesome.
Care.
That is, you know, here's the other thing, too. So from the 815, because it's a mixed bag, right? You can't always be all things to all people at all times. Is the 815, my buddy Val, he valeted, right? Okay, right. Well, because of the way that it's written. Valeted for Michael Jordan once. After giving him his keys, Jordan pulled out a wad of money, dug through it, and gave him a dollar. You know, so this is frugal, right? You know, sometimes at times you. Well, maybe that's a testament to how great the valet was. I have no idea.
You scratch my car, here's a buck.
Yeah, not sure. And you mentioned Harry Carey. Obviously, that's something that you have a close connection with. You mentioned Dick Enberg, you know, where sometimes the voices of the sports, the athletes, obviously they're the stars of the show. But some of these voices become iconic, kind of celebrities all their own. And Bill is on the line. Bill, so you've got like a Pat Foley story?
Yes, good morning. I used to bartend in Wrigleyville at the, I don't know if I could say it, the Sports Corner back in the day before they rebuilt it.
You said it.
You just did.
Okay. And so Pat Foley comes in and he walks up to the bar and you know he's got that very distinctive voice, one of the great great hockey voices of all time. And so he walks up to the bar and I recognize him and he goes up. I'll take a light beer for Miller. I'm a shot of Rumpelman.
No, that's not true. He never did say that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And then I would do it if I was him. Batterman.
The waitress grabs the shot and kicks it into beauty. That's awesome.
Merry Christmas, fellas.
All right. You thanks, too. Bill. Thanks. Wow. I'm not sure if I believe that, but.
Yeah, even if you don't believe it, it still sounded good, didn't it?
It did. It did. This is a guy that I would like to, you know, there's a certain amount of people that you would love to run into, you know, that you think would be fun. Like Ben Stiller, I think would be fun to run into. It would be great for me. Now, I don't know how great it would be for him. but I would actually like to meet, and here's the thing, is there's a little bit of, because you just appreciate the movies, you know, so many different
right.
things. Even like Vince Vaughn, you know, I appreciate the movies. It would be fun to like, have you got a chance? He's around.
I've never met him. Nope, never met him. But no, I didn't get the chance to do that. But yeah, actors are good people.
Sometimes. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, he'd be
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, he'd be cool.
You know, and of course, Dan, as being a Moana family, you know, you like Dwayne Johnson, he was Maui, right, in that movie. This is one of the ones that we found online. He was walking out of the restroom at my work, and I commented, quote, I smell what The Rock was cooking. As we passed each other in the hallway, you turned back and gave me the people's eyebrow.
The people's, that's perfect.
Yeah, actually.
Oh, he didn't give him the people's elbow.
He got to chat with him for a little while and led him to the place that he was looking for. So when we come back from the break, and we're going to take it, 312-981-7200, you can, again, add in kind of your brush with celebrity with greatness. Could be a Chicago celebrity, could be kind of an all-time movie actor, somebody famous, maybe a commentator of sorts, or kind of what we're doing is someone that you'd love to run into, you know, like sure. someone that you would love to meet, and hopefully it would go well, right? So that,
yeah, I mean,
you know, because if you've got an idol and then you have
to
hate
them.
It would
be a letdown if you actually wanted to meet somebody and then they turned out to be a real, real thorn in your side.
720 WGN. Dane here, Allstate Showcase Studio in for Nick until 5 a.m. So we've got about 40 minutes left talking kind of brushes with greatness opportunities when you've met someone that was interesting or noteworthy, and sometimes it goes well, sometimes it doesn't go well, apparently, from the 708. And, of course, you can add yours in addition to these, 312-981-7200. The Tommy Lee Jones is not the most pleasant person to meet, you know, because
I've heard that he's a little cantankerous.
What does that mean? And if you hear that, do you get in there? Because if that's the word on the street, so to speak, do you kind of get in there and want to get yourself some of that crabby Tommy Lee Jones?
Maybe I could turn him into a nice guy instead of being not so nice. I don't know. I don't know what, if I knew that somebody was surly and didn't want to be bothered, I wouldn't bother him.
To that point, Steve and Johnny weekly used to visit with an entertainment reporter named Gino Salamone, who was based out of Wisconsin. And he had awful interactions with Tommy Lee Jones because Tommy Lee Jones is like that during interviews. You know, one-word answers, very stern, doesn't give anything and things like that. To the point where, you know, if he had 5 minutes allotted with Tommy Lee Jones, like, Gina would duck out after 30 seconds if he got the vibe that it just wasn't happening. You know, he'd ask him two or three questions, and Tommy Lee Jones would give him his three answers, and he'd just be like, all right, thank you very much, and just walk out.
I actually think that's where I heard that from, was
probably
from Gino's interviews with him. I think I heard him talking about it once.
Well, you wondering, because some people have, you know, and then you'll meet him in a social situation or maybe at the airport, and they understand this is a bona fide kind of fan interaction, and then they're very nice, you know.
Sure.
Whereas they see the, because some of them just don't like the whole press junket thing. You know, they feel that this is kind of an infringement on their time. Obviously, they're obligated to do this kind of thing, but they don't want to make it any more time consuming, and maybe they're not excited to talk about Men in Black 8, you know, or whatever they're in.
Well, and you know, to your point a little bit earlier, like, you know, they do those junkets for 8 hours straight.
Yeah,
you know, it's 10 minutes, 8 to 10 minutes per interview. They've answered the same question 67 times. I know Jim Carrey, one of his things to like keep from getting bored, would answer each repeat question differently each time. So,
I like that approach.
You know, so just to keep himself entertained, because I mean, if you think about it, if you're sitting there for 8 hours straight and you're being asked the same question, it does kind of get monotonous.
It would have to.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, but then again, you're an actor. Act like you...
Right, you got paid a lot of money to sit there and look pretty.
But really, you've got to think of it. You know, when the film crew comes in from Phoenix, and then there were one from Minneapolis, and then the Dean Richards, obviously he's, you know, an icon here, you know, and all over the place. And Chicago's a big market, so hopefully, and he's great at what he does, so hopefully he gets kind of the best out of the people. But if you're moving along, and here's like the team from Modesto...
Yeah, what if you're like the 15th one to ask him a question?
The exact same one. Well, this is a big departure for you. You cried. Your thoughts? You know, it's like, yes, I did. You know, how do you keep it fresh?
Yeah, I'm not sure how you do that. Unless, like, you know, like you said, with Jim Carrey giving different answers, that's one way to, that's an interesting slant there. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you keep that, unless maybe you start asking them questions.
Some people do that. You know, some people, you know, there's been some famous interactions too, because, you know, Mel Gibson's with his famous interactions with Dean, where, yeah, I think he swore at him or whatever. Well, because sometimes, here's the thing too, is sometimes, even though it's in the context of promoting the movie, there are things that are noteworthy, newsworthy, that go beyond the scope of that specific movie role, and you're almost obligated to ask, you know, like, hey.
Like a follow-up question?
Well, like this crazy thing happened, any thoughts you want to, like, share?
You want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, you want to,
tell us what your thoughts were as to why that happened?
And some people don't. And then sometimes, you know, people will give you, and even on the interview side, on the radio thing, I mean, typically that's kind of what I do. We do some talk show stuff. For sure, but a lot of times it's features with personalities of note. You know, and sometimes I'll get, you know, let's not talk about this, or here's kind of what we want to focus on. I'm a high road. Let's focus and feature some of the cool things that are going on. So I'm not a big gotcha person, but yeah, you know, as an interviewer, I don't necessarily like it when they tell you what you can't talk to them about.
Yeah, I can remember during the, I was watching a Dream Team documentary, and there was a part about Michael Jordan. Well, because Isaiah Thomas wasn't on that team, and there was a specific part in there where he said no, you know, he didn't want to talk about Isaiah Thomas at all, and he said it right before they started taking questions.
And the first question was, yeah. So, Isaiah Thomas.
So, how come Isaiah Thomas? No, I mean, he was very, you know, matter of fact about it, too. He was not answering any questions that way. So, I guess I could see where, you know, they don't want to talk about it. There's really no point in pressing the issue.
Yeah, a guy that's always been really upfront with, you know, fitness and all those kind of things. And I think the Isaiah Thomas maybe and Michael Jordan connection would be they both wore short shorts at certain times in their career. We've got KJ. KJ, who did you have that brush with that you want to share?
Well, I actually went too. I met Richard Simmons on the elevator, and he wanted to know what I was. I met him in the Channel 7 when he was interviewed. I worked in the building, and he was on the elevator with me, and I had perfume on, and he said, "What are you wearing?" I said, "I'm wearing Scoundrel, Joan Collins," and I said, "If it's good enough for her, it's good enough for me." He said, "She dates 16-year-olds. And then I met Michael Jordan at a
club. Wait a minute, KJ. Before you go any further with that, like, because sometimes you know they have their you know public persona, and his was, of course, he was an enthusiastic, you know, constantly doing exercises and jazzercise or sweating to the oldies. Did he have like that costume on? Was he wearing the tank top and
wearing short shorts?
He had that wild, you know, he had that straight jacket uniform on, you know, that he always wore, and his hair was all over. I mean, his hair was all over his head. I mean, at first I thought, who is he? I was sick. I was going home early, and I had to run into him. But Michael Jordan is really nice, and I met him with him. He came in to play golf with a member, and I worked for this place. I was having lunch, and I knew who he was, and I looked at him, and I was watching The Young and the Restless, and he said, "Why aren't you watching All My Children?" I says, "Because I like The Young and the Restless." And then I looked at him. I said, "Can I have your autograph?" And he did. He wrote "Best Wishes, Michael Jordan" on a napkin.
Best wishes. Watch Young and the Restless, Michael Jordan.
that's great. Now, did you take his advice and give All My Children a chance? Because
no, I always watch The Young and the Restless, but. Here, I will tell you one thing, and I know you have, I just happened to be around at the wrong place. When I was younger, people used to say I look like Liza Minnelli. Eddie Bracken was in the pump room, and I was having dinner with some friends, and I did see him at the first table. I knew who he was. And the next day, these friends of mine, who I ate with, said, "You know, Eddie Bracken came up to our table after you left and wanted to know if we were eating with Liza Minnelli."
Oh, nice.
No. Wow.
So you see?
There you go.
See, that's good. So some of the brushes with greatness could be people that they brushed with you.
Yeah, they thought you were her. Wow.
Well, that wasn't the first time. People always took me for Liza Minnelli. I did look like her, and I had a man come up on the street and said, "You know, you look like what's her name?" And I said, "No, you mean Liza Minnelli?" He said, "Yes." And so, I did. I do have a picture that actually I do look when in my 20s. So,
wow,
you know?
Very nice.
We always look like somebody, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks, KJ. We appreciate it. We had our brush with you today, so we appreciate you jumping on.
Thank you.
All right. Wow. So, Dino, does anybody, of course, vocally, right, you can you channel the vocal stylings of a Harry Carey, and not just in the occasional, you know, Cub fan, Bud man catchphrase, right? It's like you'll be able to go back to the Gene Vanocken days.
I could go back to when I was with the White Sox as well, with Jimmy Pearsall.
That was
back in the 70s.
That was a crazy
time. Was right. Yeah, that was nutty. That was a good time.
So, is there anybody out there that people say that you look like? You know, I think that.
No, I have a great face for radio. Dane, and no, I've never been. No, why did you, I mean? Do you think there's someone I resemble?
I don't think so.
No. Maybe Lex Luthor in the old Superman movie.
I don't know. The Crusher. I don't know. No, I'm just, well, only because, you know, but yeah, no, not really. Yeah, no. Well, I think most people are yourself. You know, they say that you have like a doppelganger and there's a person out there that you look like. Of course, Dan hopes that no one looks like, at least identically, like the other person because he's terrified.
Of course not. If there were two of me, that would really be scary. There's no question about that.
I'm terrified of twins. Wow. Okay. 312-981-7200. We are going to be able to share a little bit more of the brushes with greatness. We've got a few more to go ahead and read, and you can add yours as well. And one thing you don't want to be mistaken for is the perpetrator fleeing from the scene of a crime, and we've got some of those fun as fun as they can be, fun kind of crazy criminal stories that are happening during the holidays, plus what you're doing, Dino, in the holidays, what I'm doing. Dan will find out what he's doing. Of course, you can share yours as well. Again, 312-981-7200. Right now, though, it is 4:30 and news time. Here's Vic Vaughn. 720 WGN, Dane Neal in for Nick until 5 a.m. today, and Dino Tiberi to my right, Dan Segru in the booth as always. And it is that holiday time of year. It is a time for, you know, all of those wonderful things, seeing some of those holiday specials we've talked about. Family, friends, getting together, enjoying their company. It may also be the time to commit that perfect crime. And so, I mean, the crime never stops. You know,
no, it doesn't matter. The calendar doesn't wait for the crime. The crime just happens.
Right. But it doesn't pay, as Batman always told us. Well, sometimes it does. But if you've made it to the newspaper, and if we're laughing about it, typically you've been you've been caught. I really, you know, you look at, so have you ever seen some of those shows? You know, I used to watch the show Cops, right? You know,
no,
Cops.
Of course.
You know, where they're just chasing people down. And, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, domestic situations and people are, you know, just, it's kind of negative and, you know, right. It isn't always as, there's not a lot of fun going on there. But some of those world's dumbest criminals can be very entertaining.
Very entertaining, yeah.
The guy that broke into the liquor store and then found himself locked in and he couldn't get out and he just had to wait till they came to let him out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times. If you're in that predicament, you know you're going to get caught. You might as well do some drinking while you're there.
I think they showed the, which was unfortunate because, but hopefully they were insured. But the guy, because when you, I think he came through some sort of like a heat vent air duct chimney, Santa style.
He dropped in.
He landed.
And then got locked in.
Landed, I think, in the whiskey / rum aisle. And then I think he packed up things he wanted and then just forgot to think it through, you know, that how am I going to get out of here?
How am I going
to
get out of here?
Yeah.
It's like locking yourself in a freezer.
And I think he ran into the door a few times trying to, he just couldn't get out. And then he was trying to get back out through the way he ended up falling down and things were breaking. And I think he did a lot of damage other than just the, you know, anyway, but it didn't work out. But I guess it provided some laughs and hopefully some lessons.
Yeah.
Right.
You got to learn those lessons when you're involved in crime, just like this one here. Suspect offered to buy Colorado sheriff's car with marijuana. A Colorado sheriff trying to sell his personal vehicle on Craigslist ended up making two arrests when potential buyers attempted to pay with black market marijuana.
Now, we've all been aware for a long time, and of course, you know, you watch any kind of movies, including Scarface, is that, you know, drugs have a value. You know, certainly you've got that whole kind of situation. I didn't know that it was public enough where you could just buy things off of Craigslist with it.
I guess like, so. And it's just a little strange. It says here that the sheriff, Jason Mikesell, posted a Craigslist ad to sell his old car, and one potential buyer responded to the ad, offered to pay with 4 pounds of homegrown black market marijuana instead of cash.
How does that conversation start? Because, you know, I always feel kind of uncomfortable even sort of negotiate, you know, like, hey, would you take, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, but he's like, would you take this bags of marijuana?
I think he sent, it says here, he's unaware, of course, that he was a sheriff. He sent photos of the marijuana via text message. Here's the bags I'm going to give you for your car. What the?
Now, Dino, I'm not super, you know, up to speed on all the vetting techniques when it comes to marijuana, but I would think that in anything with any kind of alternative form of currency or trade, you would want some photographic proof.
Well, right, because do you have it or don't you? You're just talking about it, but apparently he had it. Sure. Then what happened was Mike Sell had undercover detectives meet with Langley, who showed up with another person and had with two large bags of marijuana. They were arrested. The marijuana was seized. And now it says, of course, Mike Sell says the department currently working to crack down on illegal marijuana growers.
Dun, 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 dun. Well, here's the thing, because it's in Colorado, and I think we're all kind of aware that isn't it legal in Colorado? I mean, I'm sure there's
marijuana
some
marijuana is legal, but there's got to be some kind of it's controlled.
4 pounds seems like a lot,
yeah.
And then are you allowed to use it as like a currency?
Right? Yeah,
are you allowed to like buy cars with it?
Well, apparently not. According to this, as they got arrested, but. The fact that he, you know, they're cracking down on the illegal marijuana growers. This guy must have been just doing a little homegrown at home and then tried to trade it in to get the, what kind of a car it was. It didn't say what kind of a car it was, but What's the value on a, you know, a new car?
Who See, knows? This is where the confusion sets in.
Right.
It's like, you know, with 4 pounds of marijuana.
4 bags enough? I don't know.
I've got a Buick LeSabre here. I'm not sure how it all works out. But, you know, here's the thing, too, that offers up, and I'm not familiar, never bought a car or big bags of marijuana in Colorado either, but here in Illinois, isn't it, you know, as far as how much, like, tax you pay on it or when you actually go get it registered, don't they factor in kind of the value, like what you paid for it, and then you've got to pay something that kind of corresponds with that? And so I'm not sure if there is a line, an extra category for bags of marijuana.
Yeah, not being the hemp aficionado, I'm not sure how that all plays out, but an interesting story nonetheless.
So then you've got this one. So the boy, 5 years old, calls 911 to report the Grinch stealing Christmas, right?
Apparently he saw the Grinch on TV and thought that he better call the cops because the Grinch is going to steal Christmas away from him, and it went right from there.
So was there an actual Grinch? You know, cause sometimes this has happened before where Santa comes in, maybe, you know, maybe mommy's kissing Santa Claus and then the kid sort of leaps into action to thwart whatever's going on. So was there an actual Grinch sighting?
No,
or was this in general?
No, I think it was just him calling in the police to warn them the Grinch was going to come and take all their stuff. And then the police officer actually showed up at the child's home. To ensure him that there wasn't going to happen, that the Grinch was not going to be arrested. And
it says here the police made an arrest, Dino.
They did. They arrested the Grinch. Where was he?
No, I mean, it says it right there. It says, you know, boy 5 calls 911 to report Grinch stealing Christmas, and the police make arrest.
I missed that part of the story there. I don't have that in front of me right now.
So Tylan Pittman saw a video clip of how the Grinch stole Christmas, decided to call the police department in Byram, Mississippi on Saturday to report the green Dr. Seuss character's intentions. See something, say something, be vigilant. A 911 dispatcher eventually got Tylan's father on the phone, who scolded his son and said, "You better stop watching so many cartoons," he said, and the dispatcher left. I don't think there was really an arrest happening. So hopefully your Christmas can happen and kind of progress. Spend some time with family and friends. And I know you wanted to share with the listeners what it is that you're doing.
Well, I'm going to spend some time with my father on Christmas Day. And my family's kind of spread out. So, you know, I want to wish them a Merry Christmas a little early. I have a family in Germany. I have family down in Florida, so we won't be getting together as a group this year. But just my dad and I, and then on Christmas Eve, I'll spend a time with my friend Lee Machieski and his family, as I do every year, and we'll exchange some gifts, have some good food, and have a few beverages, and just relax and enjoy the holidays.
Throw
together.
Some Johnny Mathis on the turntable.
Yeah, I don't think.
Come on. He did a Christmas album. It was
yeah, I'm
successful.
Sure he did, but I mean, I don't think I'll be. Not Johnny Mathis. There'll be other songs.
Something against Johnny Mathis. I think he's grabbing Barbara Streisand. Always did really well.
No, I don't know. Maybe he will come
Neil
up
Diamond
on the playlist.
Christmas
you never
perhaps.
Know.
Yeah. So we're going to be doing a lot of that stuff. You know, so get together, family, friends. We got little kids. It's all about them, and so that's going to be exciting as well. And Dan, you know, for having some little kids, this is kind of your opportunity to shape those memories and kind of be a part of their Christmas. Do you give it a lot? Do you overthink it? Do you get in there and you because you know these are pivotal times.
Yeah. We're pretty fortunate. We come from pretty big families, so a lot of we don't have to do a lot with gifts because she'll be getting both of them will be getting a lot of gifts from uncles and aunts right now. So so that part is taken away. So in a lot of ways, we've just been able to just enjoy the holidays and watch the holiday specials with her and sing Christmas carols and drive around and look at the Christmas lights and things like that. So that's
drive around.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, I mean,
but you know what? You're right.
There's a lot of neighborhoods that have elaborate display.
Granted,
right.
She's 2.5, so like the inflatable snowman, you know, is the most amazing thing in the world right now. But yeah, so.
See when Dan said that drive around, it reminded me of when Max was about two and a half years old, and he wanted to go to the zoo. We promised that he could go to the zoo. Apparently, the zoo was closed or wasn't available or was maybe far or inconvenient. And so what we decided to do, you mentioned the blow up Santa is the most amazing thing. So we took him to see some animal experiences during the pet food aisle at Walmart, because you have, you know, there's like pictures of squirrels and birds and cats, and then they had like a pet section at the time, and so there was like gerbils and some mice and maybe a fish. You know, I mean, so you felt like you could get your animal on, because the kids are easy at that point, right?
There's a lot of things that she's impressed with that she probably will not be impressed with very
next
long,
year.
Much longer, yeah.
All right, 720 WGN, Dane here for Nick DiGilio until 5 a.m. And you know, you hear that, Dino, and you think to yourself, wouldn't it be great to be a member of the Chicago Blackhawks? That would be an exciting, fun, fulfilling job. Keep you fit, right? That's you're getting out there getting some exercise, and I think it pays pretty good.
I think there's no question about that. You know, those guys are some of the best conditioned athletes in the world, and they're starting to get some pretty good paychecks. And, you know, Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane, and they signed a nice deal a few years ago for a few years, so it's got to be exciting to do that as an everyday job. Why not?
Sure, why not? Well, I'm sure they're consumed by the pressures of trying to get back there and win that fourth Stanley Cup. So
it's probably not that easy.
But if you listen to Mike Pence, and he described the broad-shouldered leadership of a Donald Trump, and you know, we had the big tax bill, you know, the Republicans came out, and the things are supposed to be looking up. 2018 is going to be big. It's going to be big. We're all going to have, like, you know, really great jobs, and we're going to make a lot more, not necessarily a lot more money, but they're going to take a lot less. So here's the 10 highest paying jobs of 2017. You know, Nick loves lists, and yep. Nick's audience loves lists, and you want to be on those lists if you're looking for that great new vocation. So, Dino, what would you think would be one of those top 10 highest paying jobs? And don't say
Can I just say CEO of a major corporation?
You could say kind of CEO, sort of a business executive, Lord Business, if you will, from the Lego movie. You could sort of say that, but not celebrities. We've done a bunch of, you know, kind of brushes with greatness. Those are the few rare opportunities where, you know, that's just not something normal people get to go sign up for. I'm going to be famous and get paid a lot. So, but these are regular jobs, 10 highest paid jobs, 2017. You say CEO. Dan, I know that you know this, but you're going to block it out and answer objectively. What do you think?
One
of those top 10 jobs.
I would imagine that anything healthcare related is going to be high up on the list now, and considering the population shifts that we're going to have with the older generation, like basically if you're in that medical field, obviously very stressful, but you are going to get paid because there are people who need your help.
Listen to you. You just went all street. You're going to get paid. Yes, you will, right? Because people exist. They're going to get sick. You know, and now, you know, with some of the difficulties on the insurance side, it's going to be very expensive.
Right.
That's one of those things. You know, utilities, people are going to need, you know, light,
insurance,
heat. They're going to need doctors, all that kind of stuff. I think those are great. Here's the thing, too. Dan, you mentioned your fear of twins, right? And, of course, they probably – there had to be some sort of doctor that, you know, just says, hey, these are twins. I'm thinking the twins that have weirded me out is – have you ever seen this show where the twins are – I think they're twins, but it's a two-headed girl that's on this show. It's an actual, real, live two-headed girl that is actually the kind of thing that does sort of weird you out. Have you ever seen that show?
No, I don't know. I haven't seen it.
It's a real thing.
It's a real show.
Now, Dan, have you ever seen that, the two-headed girl? It's on. I think it's A&E. Just Google it. Two-headed girl. Here's the thing, too, is it. Unlike you would think this would be strange, and Dan said, like, normal things like twins have been kind of things that have sort of bugged him over the years. It is surprising how fast you get used to this girl. She's got, well, it's two, I think it's two girls. They have one body, but two heads, and they're just living life, you know, going to, you know, Taylor Swift concerts. They're, you know, having summer jobs, driving the car, arguing over boys.
How old is this? Are the girls?
I think they're just out of, like, you know, teenage.
In high school?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think they're just getting out of there. Well, look up two-headed girls. We got to get to these high-paid jobs. Unfortunately, you can't get a job as a two-headed girl. Let's look down to the top few. Physician, 190. That's at number four. And the number one surgeon. Dan, I think you've seen this, right? Business community, if you want to get into business, the business of being a surgeon. Paul is going to talk about that on the opening bell. Paul, are you there?
Now I am here. Yes,
he
now my mic is on. I'm sorry. The two-headed girl. What?
It's a,
I know. I was
it is a
way.
Real thing, and it's not even. It's not because you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, you know, kind of a circus act. It's not that at all. They have
that's not what I'm thinking.
A reality show. It's like a, it's a girl. She's got, well, she has, it's two girls really. So I'm doing a disservice by saying it's a two-headed girl. It's a, there are two girls with.
You mean the Patty Duke show? She,
no.
Her and her cousin. That's these what you're talking about.
These are real
her
people. Cousin. And they're doing, you know, they're walking the dog. They're working at the local, you know, they're working at the grocery store doing a summer job. They're going to the beach. And it's, but they're, it's two heads. And this is a real thing.
You sure,
crazy.
It's not the movie Stuck on You with Greg Kinnear and
like,
Matt Damon.
Was this like 10 seasons on the air? I don't know how I missed Lost in Space. What do you?
No. And Paul, you will be shocked. At least I was. How, with within about 20 minutes, it seemed perfectly normal. But these are. It's.
I'm
it's
guessing. I could be wrong, Dave. I'm guessing I'm not watching that show 20 minutes into it. when I see two heads, one's at the beach and one is over the,
no, both heads
one's walking the dog. I don't know where the
Paul. Both heads are, you know, they're, because they're attached to the same person, so typically they're engaged in the same activities. But it's a very normal. It's a reality show. She wakes up, you know. Hey, don't
it's
forget
a reality
the,
show. You
know, how are you going to say it's very normal though?
Well, she's got they've got brothers and sisters, and I mean it's a real show. I'm just saying.
Can I suggest? I think. Take in the Andy Griffith show. If you watch Andy Griffith, it's on Channel 9 from time to time. You'll just kind of, it'll just be like, you know, there's no, everybody has one head in that show, as far as I know. No. Aunt B, once in a while, Aunt B, I can give you some Aunt B stories. We should do that over a cocktail one day. But I knew Jim Nabors, and he told me some Aunt B stories.
Well, I'm guessing, just guessing here, spitballing, that the opening bell will contain no talk of two-headed girls or conjoined twins, as they're also known. But I could be wrong, and what a coincidence
Golly.
If I am.
Don't be so sure. Actually, you know what? On the opening bell this morning, my guest is two-headed. He's a professor over at DePaul. Mike Miller, and one of his heads is here. The other head is on its way up from the lobby.
But oh man,
we are talking about the tax plan. This new tax plan, the two-headed tax plan.
You're never going to forget this one, aren't you?
Oh no, it's actually creating nightmares for me. So I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh yeah, it's a good show coming up though. You want to listen? It's all about the tax plan. I'm going to tell you whether he's going to tell you whether you're going to make money or not.
Stay tuned. Follow us. The opening bell coming up.